Blog Talk Radio.
The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist.
We will lie to go to war.
We can continue to where we've been going, accumulate more and more big government, assume that the people won't take care of themselves, but it's coming to an end.
Always remember, dissension's the greatest form of patriotism. Thomas Jefferson said that.
Don't obey authority until you thought it out and then you decided about it.
If you're seeing everything you see, you think you're not deceived. Now you say you have the will to speak, but you're not saying anything.
And now, coming to you live from the world famous albino raccoon recording studio, it's the Last Voice for Liberty Network, and here is your host, The Mouth.
My fellow patriots, for once again, it is time. The Last Voice for Liberty back here on the air. I am, of course, your host, The Mouth, laughing and scratching at you, coming back once again from that luxurious place in the hills, the Albino Raccoon Recording Studio.
Deep inside the lower intestine of a sperm whale.
Oh, God! God! I can't stand it! Make the pain stop!
And on tonight's show, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be discussing a little something I think needs to be brought up once every few months. A little class here, a little bit of education tonight. We're going to try to see how much you people know about spotting false flags, because the more and more of these hokey, stupid stories that keep coming out that are obviously fake. You know, obviously, they're using the same crisis actors in all these situations. Same people are showing up over and over again as one person here, another person there. They're at the press conferences laughing and smiling, even though they just recently lost a loved one. This is the clear signs of false flags. And people are still following along with a lot of these stories. You know, we'll take a couple of them, for example, you know, Sandy Hoax, that whole big cluster F right there that people still continue to believe. Oh, those poor kids are dead. No, they're not. They never were. You tell me, if you're going to be smiling and grinning at any point in time in the subsequent hours after losing a child. No, I don't think so. I don't think so. It's not going to happen. You got this James Foley beheading video already proven over and over again that the video is faked, that the head on the back of the corpse there was photoshopped there when the Live Leak logo was put into the still frame. They show that there's no blood coming from the so-called sawing of the knife. I saw one guy say, oh, he's making the death rattle. You only make that when you die. I said, dude, it sounds like he was gurgling. Sounds like he was gargling mouthwash to me. Don't sit there and try to blow smoke up my ass and tell me that it's, you know, that the house is on fire. It ain't going to happen. But we still have a lot of people out there in this country who are apparently incapable of spotting these false flags. So we want to get some information out here to you tonight. And Dennis Ford may be joining me shortly later on tonight. We'll see how that goes on. We'll be taking some phone calls here shortly as well. I need to get this point across and get this point across quick. Our country has a vast history of pulling these false flag attacks, i.e., they do something to make it look like another entity is performing bad actions, so then they can come in and save the day or add in legislation, as the cases may be. We need to understand that our government is not above lying to us for a good number of things. They brought us into wars over this. They've lied to us about several things. Let's take a little bit back, and since I'm reading the book, I am going to be referencing from it tonight, Truth is a Lonely Warrior by James Perloff, who will be our guest on the Friday Night Super Show this week. They lied about Pearl Harbor. They knew, our federal government knew specifically that Japan was coming to attack Hawaii. They knew it. They still let it happen. It was only in the subsequent months after the attack there, once the U.S. has already, the public had already decided that we were going to go to enter World War II, then they were saying, well, whose fault is it that we got attacked there? And they're like, somebody's got to pay for this. Somebody's got to be held accountable. So they took the commander of the Pacific Fleet, the admiral, and then the commander of the armed forces in Hawaii, and said, you know what, this is you guys' fault, we're blaming you. And this is a subsequent commission, you know, that was said there. We'll read it right out here to you. President Franklin D. Roosevelt appointed a commission to answer this question. It was called the Roberts Commission. It was headed by Owen Roberts, a Supreme Court justice friendly with Mr. Roosevelt. Also appointed were Major General Frank McCoy, a close friend of Army Chief of Staff George Marshall, Brigadier General Joseph McNarney, a member of Marshall's staff chosen on his suggestion, and retired Rear Admiral Joseph Reeves, whom Roosevelt had given a job in Lend-Lease. Admiral William Stanley was the only member who seemed to lack close ties to the Washington establishment. Now, the commission conducted 2 days of hearings in Washington and 19 days in Hawaii. Its report declared that Washington officials had discharged their duties in exemplary fashion. The fault for Pearl Harbor, it concluded, lay with the commanders in Hawaii. Admiral Husband Kimmel, which is an interesting name. His name is Husband. I'd never heard of that before. He was the commander of the Pacific Fleet, and General Walter C. Short, the Army commander in Hawaii. It had alleged that these men had failed to take adequate defensive measures and surveillance of the waters surrounding Pearl Harbor. They were relieved of their duties, and the word dereliction of duty were emblazoned on headlines across the country. The two were inundated with hate mail and received death threats, and it was claimed that their neglect had caused the deaths of thousands of Americans. Some members of Congress, ladies and gentlemen, even said that the pair should be shot. These two gentlemen, however, protested the findings of the Robert Convention, which they viewed as a kangaroo court. Roberts had run an unusual hearing. Initially, evidence was heard without being recorded, and statements were made not under oath. Kimmel and Short were denied the right to ask questions, cross-examine witnesses, or have fellow officers present to serve as legal counsel. They also found that the commission's report omitted significant amounts of testimony. Now, members of Congress at that moment in time demanded that the two be court-martialed, which is exactly what the two officers wanted, to resolve the issue of Pearl Harbor in a bona fide courtroom using established rules of evidence instead of Owen Roberts' personal methods. Courts-martial, however, was feared by the Roosevelt administration, which had secrets concerning Pearl Harbor that it wished to conceal. Therefore, it was announced that courts-martial would be held but delayed until such a time as the public interest and safety would permit. Roosevelt knew that if 3 years had elapsed, then the statute of limitations would expire and Kimmel and Short could no longer be required to face said courts-martial. However, two officers waived the statute of limitation, and in June 1944, a congressional resolution mandated the trials happen. Now, that August, the Navy Court of Inquiry and Army Pearl Harbor Board convened. At these proceedings, the attorneys for Kimmel and Short presented an undeniable proof that Washington had complete foreknowledge of the Pearl Harbor attack, but had withheld this information from the commanders in Hawaii. As the evidence was presented at the Navy Court of Inquiry, two of the admirals, including Chairman Orrin Murfin, flung their pencils on the floor in outrage. The court exonerated Admiral Kimmel of all charges and laid the blame squarely on Washington. The Army Pearl Harbor Board also concluded that Washington had full foreknowledge of the attack. Its report closed with these exact words, ladies and gentlemen. Up to the morning of December 7th, 1941, everything that the Japanese were planning to do was known to the United States. Now, it's not just there. They allowed Japan to attack in Pearl Harbor. Then what was it? Let's fast forward a little bit to, let's see, the Vietnam War, and let's talk about the Gulf of Tonkin, where our government said that our boats, our ships, were being fired upon in the Gulf there. No such event ever occurred. It wasn't, but, 40 years later, somewhat, that the investigation finally turned out that the Gulf of Tonkin never happened. 10,000 United States servicemen died in the Vietnam skirmish, or the Vietnam War, if you want to call it war, but it wasn't really a war because it was never officially declared a war by Congress. Now let's fast forward to 2001, and this is where people are going to say I'm getting dicey here, but hey, 9/11, the anniversary's coming up here in just another week, and we need to take a look at this. It was a false flag event. This was an operation conducted by officials who knew about this in our government, was most likely funded. NORAD was turned down at that moment in time, just out of nowhere. And they fly two planes into buildings. Why? The next day, was it 3 days later, all but one member of Congress, now I'm talking the House and the Senate, voted unanimously for this evil legislation we face each and every day, the Patriot Act. Fast forward once again, you come to Sandy Hook. Oh, this crazed little skinny gunman dressed up like Rambo in a school that has locked doors. You have to buzz to be let in. Video cameras abound because they sent out a note to the parents earlier that year saying that they would be installing these cameras because, you know, if your child's going to be on camera, you have to sign off permission. But yet, no video evidence of this young man going into the school. No pictures of any body. And it's not like I want to see more bodies of dead kids. We get plenty of that from Israel. But yet, no evidence of any of these children dying, just the reports of what they're saying. 2 days after the incident, when they've already shown that there's, we played the audio back from the police CB scanners, we played the video of where they're showing them chase another guy off into the woods, and of course you never hear anything else about that. But 2 days later, their chief of police in that town had the audacity to come out and say, there are people out there who are, the only official story is coming right from us. We're the only ones to know anybody else out there, we're going to prosecute them. Which, of course, he had no power or ability to do. That shows how intelligent police officers of this nation are. Oh, yeah, I'm going to prosecute you because you're saying something else than what I'm saying. Well, probably because you're lying, you fat-headed bastard. Parents not allowed to see their children to identify the bodies. Not a one. And miraculously, some of these same kids that were supposedly dead, looking a little bit older a couple years later, singing at the Super Bowl. Somebody want to explain that one to me? Well, what was the push behind that? What was the big anti... Can anybody get it? Anybody get it? Gun legislation was what they were trying to push after that. Oh, we've got to get these guns away. Tried to say that the man had an AR-15, which he never had. He had a shotgun, which was in his car. He supposedly, this autistic young man, who was spindly and pretty weak-looking, if you want my opinion, supposedly this young man shot his mother, and then continued on and went to some school that she had taught at 20-some years before and decided he was just going to buzz and say, will you please let me in so I can shoot everybody? And the teachers were like, oh, okay. Come right on in. And the subsequent interviews following all this with the family members of the teachers and the kids who were sitting, oh, it's supposed to tug on your heartstrings, America, while these people are getting pampered up and giggling it up on television. Oh, yeah, I've got all the reason in the world to smile. Well, supposedly I just lost my child. or my sister or my brother or what have you. But no, I'm just going to sit in with a big, flashy grin on my face and smile and soak up my 15 seconds of fame. Or at least until they hire me for another crisis acting job. Whoa, lo and behold, government will create jobs for crisis actors, of course. So you need to have that come. Let's go throw a flash bomb right by the finish line for the Boston Marathon. And then we'll get those crisis actors out there. We'll have them banging together stuff to make dust poof come up and get dust all over everybody. Our trained actors are coming out. We'll get a couple of guys that are already missing legs from the war, and we'll put a little piece of metal coming out of their legs so it looks like, you know, something. And we'll paint some blood and a little bit of fake prosthetics. And, hey, get that guy over here. That looks like you look like Steven Spielberg. And this guy, I think you were on Northern Exposure in the 80s. Here, come on over here. Let's get on over here. We'll get you guys in here. Of course, you'll be running around. We'll take some famous good shots of you, some pictures. Blood? I'll just use red paint. You know, satin finish. It'll be fine. Nobody will notice. I mean, how many painters out there are going to know the difference between paint and blood? Oh. This one. So they go and they murder another man who most likely didn't have anything to do with it. And then subsequently shut down Watertown there in Massachusetts, declaring martial law, marching the military through the streets, a violation, of posse comitatus. You do not use the American military on American soil against American people. Sorry, it's against the law that we set up. Oh, but wait a minute. These awful jackasses have no knowledge of what the law actually is, only what they make up as they go along. So they lock down the whole town, martial law everywhere, people are in their houses, they're getting bashed in the face with the butts of machine guns, dragged out of their homes, soldiers and police officers rummaging through their house saying, oh, well, you don't know if you're safe enough, that guy could have snuck in your house and you never would have known it. We've got to come in here, root through all your shit, stealing things as well. Lots of people reported things missing after these subsequent searches. And for 9 hours, they didn't even find the fucking kid. Excuse my language here in the first hour, I apologize. The guy whose boat the kid was hiding in, he found him. So you lock down a whole town, you violate everyone's Fourth Amendment rights right there in plain sight on friggin' television, and you don't even accomplish what you're trying to do. Who found them? Citizens. It shows just about how useless the police are. And how useless and incompetent the powers that be that are ordering these young men and women to violate American rights in the name of their safety. It's absolutely 100% incredible to me. Look at all the signs. Stop. Don't let yourself make this snap emotional judgment on something when they put this up. Yes, it's horrible when people die. Yes, it's horrible if children get killed. But what's even more horrible is if they lie to you about it, make you think that, oh my goodness, I'm in such danger. Please take all of my rights away and keep me safe, big brother. You need to be able to make sure that you're looking at all the evidence and all the facts before you make any type of judgment when it comes to these ridiculous, and by all means, with this latest one with the beheading, is absolutely 100% ridiculous. I've said it before on the show, even Ed Wood has piped up and said, man, that is the worst special effects video I've ever seen in my life. B-movies in the 50s of Martians coming down were more believable than that video. But what is the meaning behind this false flag here? Why would they do it again? Because they want to bring us into war. And the only way that the American people will support us going back into Iraq and causing into an entire another war is if we start tugging on their emotional little heartstrings. We fluoridated them enough that they can't think for themselves, obviously. And then keep pushing the story. Keep punching it through. Keep telling that lie so much until they believe it. And you've got your conservative radio show host, talk radio show host, television news host, Fox, CNN, LSD or whatever the hell that stupid channel is. All pushing the same thing. The James beheading, James Foley beheading, James Foley beheaded. The beheading of a journalist. And when it was a crock, it was a lie. And now all of a sudden, because this so-called beheader had a British accent when he talked, imagine that. Now all of a sudden, Britain's a, oh, we've got to raise our terror threat too severe. First of all, ladies and gentlemen, this is meant to happen. This is all part of their scripted plan to bring about one world government. You've got to topple the largest sovereign country in the world, the United States government, and bend the people to the will before you can implement it. It's part of their big program, ladies and gentlemen. They keep on buying it. They keep on selling it. And for some reason, there's so many of us in this country that keep on buying it. At some point in time, guys, we all need to say no. I'm going to start bringing in some callers here. I've got one lined up already. Ladies and gentlemen, from the Ocelli Effect at UCY.TV, Mr. Chuck Ocelli. How you doing tonight, buddy?
Oh, good evening, Lee. I'm glad you're striking on this subject tonight, though, I got to tell you. You know, and it's interesting that you bring up the British, of course, because these are the people that perfected the concept of false flags, really.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in modern times, we can see that reflected by the MI5 and MI6 agents that are constantly involved in all these sort of adventures. But you know what? Let's not even pick on those particular white people. Let's pick a different set of white people, because I don't even want to talk about the Muslim narrative that's going on, although we can touch on that later.
Yeah.
It's always fun to take a look at that. I mean, I said it the moment that they started pushing that story. I said, why is it that a Arabic or Iraqi or whatever it is, language speaking, group of individuals would choose ISIS as their particular moniker? That makes no sense whatsoever, because that's an English phrase. Oh well. Anyway, back to what I was talking about. You know, all we got to do is look at the actions with, like, you know, our Gladio type operations that occurred over in Europe. That's all you got to look at. I mean, like I said, let's switch to a different set of white people. The Italian government's complicity in stuff like, you know, the bombing in Bologna in '80. You know, I mean, and again, very recent times. That's not even to mention the rest of it, right? You know, it's just amazing to me that that this stuff still goes on. I mean, they preemptively plant stories, they set the narratives up, and then they carry them out. And amazingly, like you said, the conservative, especially the conservative element, immediately seizes upon it as the great new boogeyman. And, well, you know, we couldn't sell the Al-Qaeda, Al-Qaeda boogeyman anymore, could we?
Cause, you know, no.
You know, they decapitated that, didn't they? Supposedly when they dumped a body in the ocean sometime back, I forget that guy's name. But, you know, what are you going to do, right? Oops, I brought back the Arabs, didn't I? I'm sorry.
They just keep coming back. You know, when they've got this is a world power play, obviously. You know, the Muslims and a lot of these Muslim countries are not going to accept a one-world governance. They're just not. So the more that we can get over there and get our boys over there and start killing them, then the less of a problem we seem to have. You know, this boils down to their goals concerning the Georgia Guidestones and a bunch of these other things. They want this world population dwindled down. So perpetual war, number one, it makes the money for their buddies in the weapons industry and everything else. But number two, it also starts dwindling that population down from all sides. Because we're all they're not just trying to kill us all here. Okay?
Oh, no, and it's a useful after effect also, because, you know, even in places where there wasn't a legitimate anti-American sort of, tenor to the population, look, you can get it real, real quick if you just start, you know, drone bombing weddings and things like that. I mean, it's going to piss people off, brother.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So there you go. You have some anti-American sentiment in places where it necessarily wasn't before, gee, what a shock. you know, isn't that another useful thing? Well, now we have an even greater reason to continue on with, you know, decades-long offensives into areas, you know, that we don't
have. They hate us because we're free.
They hate our freedoms.
That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. You don't know, ladies and gentlemen, and I always try to be that guy that's going to put myself in somebody else's shoes, you know, when I'm trying to discern why they would feel a certain way. And I have to side with a lot of these countries that have this anti-American sentiment because we're dicks. We go around the world sticking our big noses and foot up everybody's keister and just acting like we have the God-given authority to go and do it. No wonder they're pissed at us. I'd be pissed, too.
Like George Carlin said, look, man, if you got some brown people, we'll bomb the hell out of them, no problem. You know?
If your country has brown people, we'll bomb the crap out of it. That's what they like to do. Yeah. Our government has a problem with brown people. I don't understand it. Every country that we need to go to now, these people are scary. They're terrorists. And they're destabilizing so much over there in the Middle East. I mean, look what they did with Libya, for Pete's sake. Say what you want about Muammar Gaddafi as a guy. You know, you smell bad, you know, look like a bowl of hummus, whatever. But the fact is he was probably one of the better dictators in North Africa there. He took care of his neighbors. He would give them money to help build up their economies and their communities. The city of Tripoli was absolutely looking beautiful. And here months later, after that, we've set it up so they could oust them, gave them a bunch of guns, which they killed our guys for, you know. Then they went and killed Gaddafi, and now the city is practically in ruins. It looks like friggin' Detroit.
Well, now come on now. Let's not be mean to Tripoli. Look, you know, the bottom line, though, is of course, again, this is another guy who, you know, if you talk to people in Libya, you'll find out, you know, that they speak three different languages. They were given free educations. You know, things had gotten better under his regime. I'm not saying that I love the guy or anything, but the demonization of this leader, you know, all of this stuff, do you think it has anything to do with the fact that he wasn't willing to accept the international banking system in his country, that he actually wanted to back his own currency? You think that had anything to do with it?
Well, I think it 100% had something to do with it. Think about every, Chuck, you know just as well as I do, man, every country that we've been invading so far, have they had a centralized Rothschild bank? Nope.
Yeah, see, that's the problem. They're not playing the game, you know. And it's kind of interesting because right around the time that he died, I had put together a few clips at one point, and I put it on YouTube. I don't even know if it's up there anymore because they've taken down so much of my crap. But, you know, he was making some interesting – yeah, he was making some interesting statements, though, if you read the translations regarding, you know, John F. Kennedy and other people in history who, you know, didn't necessarily want to play ball. And he just didn't quite understand, and he had even backed off of his, you know, supposed military posturing and all that other stuff that he was doing. But still, in the end, because he would not accept that international banking system to be in his controlled area, now he's, you know, the great demon. I mean, they just recently put out another documentary all about how he was a cannibal, and you know, and all these other, you know, wild things about him living in, you know, holes underground and abusing the people and everything else. And here's the funny part. If you talk to anybody from there, I've never actually encountered somebody directly from there who had any of those kind of stories. Generally what I heard is, well, you know, this or that wasn't working out during times of war, but the education system was getting better. There were hospitals being built. There were, you know, lots of improvements, actually. And like you said, Tripoli was a modernized city, right? And now, what kind of shape is it in since they overthrew the great demonic leader? Take a look for yourself. It's destroyed.
It's basically, you know, become like Somalia. You've got about six different governments that are vying for power in Libya right now. And it's destabilizing the whole region. You know, the Libyan economy was a direct contributor to a lot of the countries around them, you know, like Sudan, that are right around Libya, because Gaddafi was working with them and giving them money, you know, to help build up their infrastructure and build up themselves and their countries. The guy was a bit nicer than everybody was trying to paint him to be, and what we had his little tiff with Ronald Reagan there back in the 80s with the whole line of death and everything, which I've always found, you know, really funny. Because
I always thought that was pretty interesting, too, is why a North African country would even begin to challenge the United States at that point in time. It made absolutely no sense.
No,
you know,
it did.
Of course, we had the accusations of terrorism at that time as well. But, you know, you got to remember, it didn't work so well back then. You know, we had plenty of those Middle Eastern terrorists, and there were hijackings, all sorts of, you know, redirecting things and threats happening, and there were supposed bombings, and nobody really paid great attention until, wait a minute, that's right, there was that other event, wasn't there? Somewhere around 2001, just about 13 years ago.
Certainly was.
Well, that got everybody's attention over here, didn't it? You know, and all of a sudden they couldn't sell us a boogeyman. Like, and I bring this name up all the time, and people go, "Who the hell is that?" Go look it up. Ahmad Muknia was supposed to be the most dangerous terrorist mastermind in the world. Okay, but they couldn't sell you that boogeyman. It wasn't scary enough that he was skyjacking and changing his appearance and having plastic surgery, and he had all these underground networks to run everything, and then he just poof, disappeared off the map. Because, you know, look, man, if a movie doesn't sell, after a while, it goes to the dollar rack and disappears.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the way it goes.
That's right. You know, you end up finding it at a garage sale for 50 cents, you know, 10 years later.
You got it. And so that's the interesting thing here is, you know, that we're still seeing the seizure on the 9/11 narrative. We still have to believe that the terrorists are out there to get us. And since Al-Qaeda has been so thoroughly crushed because it took us over a decade to find about five people, you know, and make sure that they were dead, except that one guy we got a few years back. I think we dumped him in the ocean somehow. But regardless.
You mean that guy that actually died in 2003? Old Mr. Super Bad Guy? Tim Osmond, I believe his name was.
Osmond, right. That's his name. You got it. You got it. I mean, when is it that that this is no longer going to work? I don't know because, again, we do hear the mainstream conservative, you know, talking heads are seizing upon it. Not only them, but even the liberal ones are, you know, the supposedly liberal, you know, the other side of that false left-right paradigm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those people are even seizing on it as if, well, these are very dangerous people, but we're not sure if we want to involve ourselves in a quagmire. We're not sure if we want to involve ourselves in a quagmire.
We are the quagmire.
Thank you. I knew I'd set it up, you'd knock it down. That's my point. You know? And Afghanistan, we're not in Afghanistan anymore. Good luck with that. We've been there longer than Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which was another false narrative about the fall to, back then the boogeyman was communism, and of course all of Southeast Asia and Asia, in fact, in general, was all going to fall to communism, so therefore we had to intervene there as well, you know, but hey, who's counting, right?
Oh, exactly.
You know.
It's lie after lie after lie to manipulate public opinion to make it acceptable for the crimes that our government is trying to perpetrate. You know, it's really, it's sickening, it's disgusting, and I think that's why people need to pay more attention to this and start calling these people out on this. You know, we've got to, I've called these talk radio shows, you know, the Michael Savage, the Mark Levins, all these guys. I called them and said, the video is proven fake. Stop perpetrating like this guy got his head cut off, because he didn't. This didn't happen. It was a lie. For Pete's sakes, they've shown that it was proven fake. How much longer you guys, they sit there on one side of their mouth to talk about, well, you know, the establishment's getting out of control and blah, blah, blah. Well, on the other hand, this guy was beheaded, so we've got to get over there and kill these savages. Are you nuts? How can you sit there and act like the establishment's out of control, we're going broke, blee, 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 all these unfunded, all these wars going on? Well, let's go kill these savages, because they're cutting the head, pretending to cut people's heads off. And they're out there killing a bunch of people. They are. I watched them.
But,
you know, they're killing them,
they're
burying people alive, but they're not. They didn't cut that kid's head off.
And they're supposedly crucifying people, and, you know, when the one journalist wasn't sufficient enough, we had to get confronted with, what was it, 250 Syrian soldiers, they said, were also, you know, executed in mass. You know, but I'm on the side of not really believing any of it at this point. I think that it's all fabricated. You know, it's just, well, not all fabricated, because after all, we did leave weapons for some guys to pick up over there, but you know, I'm counting that also, right?
Oh, yeah.
You know, so that's real, but, you know, because this is the MO.
That's what they're talking about. You know, they've gotten a hold of some of our M1 Abrams tanks, which are practically indestructible. Well, who's the dipshit that left the keys over there? I mean, seriously.
How do you get an indestructible tank? Exactly, without the keys.
There you go. I mean, why would we even be so irresponsible as to leave it there? I mean, for Pete's sake, didn't any of you people's mothers teach you to pick up your toys when you're done playing with them? Pick it up and bring it back home. You don't leave tanks and military equipment just over there. Well, nope, you know what? It's going to cost too much to fly it home, so screw it. We'll just leave it here.
If you spent a little time talking to people that served in World War II, right, you'd hear about them destroying munitions in place, destroying equipment in place before they left an area. That was the way it was supposed to be done. Now, I'm not even saying World War II was a clean war and only ever started, but I'm just saying that there was a time when we had the sense at least to say, okay, look, nobody's going to fly this stuff back. There's no reason to take the surplus home. They would just blow it up in place, right? Destroy their ammunition dumps. They didn't leave extra weapons. They didn't leave a rifle there if they could help it. Okay. Mm-hmm. But now, you know, rifles, trucks, tanks, you know, all the other stuff that, you know, we can't quite afford to send back to our local police stations, you know, it just kind of got left there, didn't it?
Yep. And they just leave it there. There used to be a point in time when it was important to us to keep our military technology to us so then we could, you know, retain that might of being the top dog in the yard. You know, you can't mess with us. Our weapons are way better than yours. Well, now we just leave them there. Here you go. Hey, you could sell it off to any one of the other countries that pretends they don't like us, or just let you guys take it apart and figure out how it works. There you go.
What's
next? Are we just going to start leaving nuclear weapons laying around?
Why not?
that's too much to pick back up and put away, you know. Just leave it there. It'll be fine.
Throw some grass over it.
Nobody will see it.
Here's the unfortunate reality is that, you know, there was a time at which there were militaries that were separate, that were vying for superiority, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm not even saying that that's the right way to be. But, you know, when you see things that seem to be incompetence, you got to look at it as collusion after a while. So it seems as though all of these military entities are, you know, pretty much shaking hands and winking at each other, except occasionally they have to have an actual skirmish when they're not killing civilians. You know, this is the way business is done now.
Yeah,
I'm astounded, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I'm dumbfounded. I really am. This type of stuff it boggles my mind how you can't sit there and act like this is incompetence anymore, ladies and gentlemen. This is purposeful. I mean, how many times do you tell somebody to stop drinking when they get, say you get one of them whiskey drunks that gets all falling down, pissing on themselves, you know, stupid. And you sit there and go, dude, all right, that's enough. He's all, you know, man, my dad was an alcoholic and my mom was an alcoholic and this, I'm just this predisposed to it. And, you know, I'm trying to do better. And then you turn around 10 minutes later and he's got the bottle in his hand drinking from it. No, you're not trying to do better. This is borderline the incompetence, and blaming somebody else for it now is over. You can't do that. These people need to take responsibility for what they've done, and they're not going to unless we make them, unless we hold them accountable for these war crimes.
Lee, in all fairness, I mean, after all, you know, about 13 years ago, 19, possibly 20 guys actually defeated our entire military with box cutters. I mean, come on, incompetence is a reality, isn't it?
No, not that that's – I still can't buy that.
In case anybody didn't catch that, that was a facetious comment. Thank you.
I still can't believe that people will buy into this. And, you know, I get into these discussions every now and then with the famous group that Austin likes to get in and stir the shit up with. These people obviously have no life. You know, I posted something there right at Sunday morning or Saturday morning, and there's still people commenting on that stupid picture today. Really? I mean, come on. I just cannot buy that 19 guys somehow were able to bypass all our radar systems and take box cutters and take over a whole plane with a box cutter. I'm sorry, you come at me with a box cutter, I'm going to take it from you, cut myself two or three times with it, and then throw it the fuck away and tell you to go on home. Are you serious?
Yeah. Well, you know, but they also, you know, rather stealthily avoided being filmed in most places except at the airport, and left plenty of evidence behind in a bag, and had their IDs survive, you know, large firestorms that brought down steel reinforced cement buildings. You know, and, well, you know, come on, Lee, these things happen.
Come on, people, you can't. This is not a one in a million chance or anything. This is planted evidence to give a narrative to get you to go along with it. I mean, I'll be the first one to be honest, completely honest. When 9/11 first happened, yeah, it scared the crap out of me, dude. I was sitting there, you know, listening to Man Cow and had news on the two different TVs, and all of a sudden they start freaking out about it, and it comes on. I see the plane on fire, or the building on fire, and the next plane fly into it. Yeah, it freaked me out. Oh, no, take away all my rights. No.
I did the same thing, except I was pissed immediately. Probably you were, too. But, I mean, the thing was, I was really pissed off. I was listening to Howard Stern instead of Man Cow. But, you know, hey, forgive me.
That's okay.
You know, the reality was, hey, look, he was in New York, and it was happening in front of his eyes. And I was like, wow, you know, we've actually been hit on our own ground. And what are we going to do? What are we going to do, right? So I kind of jumped on board with all that, but that was before I started getting an idea about what's going on here. But you know what's amazing to me about all this stuff is there's always a precursor to this. There's always the narrative before the narrative where you can always see that stuff was done in advance. You know, and look, I don't want to do this too much, but I mean, if you look at the JFK thing, right? You got the Oswald story being able to make it around the globe. You know, before anybody even charged him with the crime, everybody knew exactly who this guy was, okay, on the other side of the planet, literally in New Zealand, okay? There was a full-page thing explaining who the shooter was and everything else before he was even charged with the assassination in Dallas. You know.
Amazing, isn't it?
It is awfully amazing, right? You know, just like Watergate burglars that, you know, are trained in black bag operations actually instruct people in black bag operations making textbook errors in order to get caught. Look up a little something called Watergate. Anyway, you know,
they got busted by Forrest Gump.
Oh, well, yeah, that too. Hey, listen, you know, and he has, and here we go with another, I'm going to warn you right away, here's another facetious comment. He has a wonderful documentary series out right now, doesn't he?
Oh, yes.
Man, oh man.
Oh, it starts to make your brain hurt, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It does. And the frightening thing to me is that there are still plenty of people that believe this stuff and don't examine it. They just accept it. It's like watching the dog wait for you to dump something in their bowl. If you don't dump something in their bowl, they're going to sit there and just wait for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
They've lost their skill to hunt for the knowledge, for the truth, man. And I don't know how you can't see that there's a problem here. Even if you don't agree about a lot of the things that we talk about that are false flags, you know, you got to understand that there is so much wrong with the official stories that even if they weren't planned events, they're always seized upon for a purpose. And generally speaking, like I said, if you can see the setup that's, you know, in motion way ahead of the event, you know, you tend to think that's coordinated. You know, where does coincidence end and conspiracy begin, right?
Exactly. I mean, there can't be this many just happenstances that just all of a sudden, well, you know, affect the lives of so many people all over the planet. It's not just a coincidence, guys. These are planned and plotted out. They intentionally do these things to press legislation or any type of Marshall-type law, whatever it is they want to do, to, you know, so they can justify themselves in their actions. So you won't get mad at us if you know, we show you, hey, look, dangerous guys with box cutters. You got to be now. You got to get groped at the airport.
Well, I'll even flip something at you that that's not so popular, but was very useful and has nothing to do with the supposed United States of America. You know, if you take a look at the whole thing that went on in Great Britain with Northern Ireland and all the things that have gone on there regarding the IRA, all that battle that has happened, okay? Isn't it funny that funding to some poor people needed to come from somewhere and nobody's been able to explain that, right? Where did the money come from for this stuff? How did these people get armed the way that they did in a place where they weren't supposed to be? Isn't it interesting that, again, there's manipulation of both sides, you know, and this is not even an American problem. And I know this pisses people off because it ends up being a religious issue and everything else. But you know what? It's either seized upon or fomented or fanned on by the powers that be. And isn't it coincidental, of course, that, you know, it's a very useful thing to have the terrorists within your own nation, you know, and all of that. And who actually benefits at the end of the day in reality? Bank of England, you know, the Bank of London, excuse me, the Bank of London, because London is separate from England. But
surely is.
Who's counting again, right? The City of London, we all know about this. I don't need to go over that, right?
Oh, yeah. Ask the Queen. She has to dress as a commoner and ask permission in order to enter London.
There you go. But I just took it away from the American problem for a moment because, you know, people say that it's like, oh, you're just being anti-American. You're not being, you know, you're not on board. You're not, you know, defending our freedoms. You don't believe that our freedoms need to be defended. You don't want to support the troops. You've got to be kidding me, right? Actually, I do want to support the troops. You know why I want to support the troops? I want to see them not get killed for bankers' wars. I want to see them not get killed for profit. That's what I want to see, is that people that actually choose to do a service, that actually choose to go out there and do this, are doing it for the right reason and are actually defending their country like they think they are. That's what I would like to see. So in that way, I do believe that I support the troops 100%. I do not support the wars. I do not support the surrogate warfare that goes on throughout the planet, which also is separate from false flag, you know, operations. Surrogate warfare is yet another discussion we could have. But the reality is, I don't want to see, you know, puppet regimes and false flags and false narratives and a nonsensical social programming be the reason why guys got to come back in body bags in their 20s, in their 30s. There is no reason for this. It's a waste.
We should not be sending them over there to for natural resources. Our soldiers should not be over in Afghanistan guarding poppy fields. This is absolutely ridiculous. And, you know, I got a lot of friends, you know, look down upon the soldiers because they're willingly going into this. And whether it's blind patriotism or what have you, or, you know, hey, I'm hungry, I need a job. And we've got to get our soldiers to start understanding you are not protecting our freedoms by guarding a poppy field in Afghanistan. You are not protecting our freedoms by drone killing a wedding party in Saudi Arabia. Okay, that's not protecting our freedoms whatsoever. Because while you guys are all gone, getting killed in foreign lands, getting injured, maimed, limbs lost, and then killing people who are probably most likely innocent of any wrongdoing, but, you know, you got you so scared and trigger happy out there, you feel... like you need to protect yourself because you don't want to be the one that ends up in the body bag. You don't want them to send a flag home to your mama. Well, while you're gone, they're here actually taking our freedoms. You're fighting for less and less each day.
Well, you got it. And, you know, and it is good, very, very good to bring up the whole drug situation because I say, again, here's another thing I don't want, and I forgot to add this on the list. I don't really want... you know, our military personnel dying in my name, supposedly as an American, you know, for the fake backwards drug war that we're dealing with, too. You know, so in this way, I feel as though I'm supporting the troops again, because, you know what, I didn't see a reason for them to have to defend the Golden Triangle. I didn't see a reason for them to have to involve themselves in adventures and all this other stuff to make sure that cocaine could make it into this country very, very well. I didn't really see a good reason why, you know, well, there was a little bit of a slowdown there. We had those designer drugs and stuff for a while, you know, mm-hmm. stuff we could make cheaply here out of all the pharmaceuticals and chemicals and crap that's all over the place, which mm-hmm. there's many, many combinations of. But, hey, that's fun too, right?
I watched a special about that today on Netflix, a documentary on that, mm-hmm. design for drugs.
Yeah, and even worse, you know, after that again, well, gee, why did we have another heroin epidemic, you know, that has suddenly risen up, reared its ugly head? Well, gee, coincidentally, that seemed to go along right along with the same time we were defending those poppy fields and allowing the so-called Northern Alliance and all that to defeat the people that were actually burning the poppy fields down. And now we have a worldwide supply of heroin just flowing very, very well. That hasn't
heroin
stopped.
And opium as well. There's a big explosion here in the United States of Afghanistan opium from right after 9/11. I want to say it was maybe 2 months after that. All of a sudden, everybody I knew had opium, and it had the big old Afghanistan star marked right in the middle of it and everything else. So you knew it was legit. You knew that's where it was coming from. And it's like, wait a minute. What are we doing over there now?
That's why the Northern Alliance was the Northern Alliance, because they actually had kept those crops going in the northern part of the country, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they were using to fund themselves. Now, they weren't being funded as well as the Taliban, but they still had, you know, their cash crop going. Well, once we assisted them, it seemed as though their mode of fundraising seemed to spread throughout the country. And if you don't believe me, look it up yourself. You know, even the mainstream people can't argue with what I'm saying about this regarding the opium distribution, regarding, you know, the crops, the amount of heroin that simply flooded the market worldwide, and a lot of it ending up on the streets here in the United States. So, again, this backwards ass, as I said before, drug war that we're supposedly fighting, you know, is another thing that these guys have to be, you know, killed for, maimed for, have to be PTSD'd for. I don't consider it a just cause.
No.
Sorry.
This is an unjust war. It's a war on personal freedom more than it is anything. And the fact that they continue to perpetuate it and they throw us, American people in jail for, oh, you got a bag of smoke, you got a little bit of pot on you, you're going to jail, and not all states anymore, but in a lot of these states, and it's being brought in by our own government. You know, the cocaine and heroin and the opium, it's being brought in by this is not a coincidence, ladies and gentlemen. We dispatched 100,000 troops into Afghanistan, and 2 months later, there's enough opium to get everybody in the country high running around the streets here. Are you sure? Come on.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you this. At that point in time, that was the first time I had seen opium in Iowa in nearly 15 years. Okay? It's not like opium's just, oh, somebody's just sitting on it around the corner. You can just run down around the corner to Billy Joe Jack Bob's and pick yourself up a little bit of opium. He's always got some. No, it's not like that.
Well,
it's not,
you know,
a widely used drug.
That
and
plus,
it's still around here. It's still around a lot now because we've been over there. Keep sending it over.
Yep. And the price of heroin went down, of course, you know, especially on the East Coast immediately. We saw that explode. There wasn't heroin trafficking previous to 9/11 or previous to 2002, I should say, maybe 2003 at latest. There wasn't this type of traffic. There wasn't these huge, all of a sudden this huge influx on the streets here. And like you said, in Iowa, opium in Iowa, how the hell did that get there? I mean,
that's
a good
question. You know, one day my buddy shows up and, hey, check this out, and pulls out this big box. And I mean a big box. Mm-hmm. Lifts open the lid and pulls out a 5-pound rock. Just absolutely monstrous. And I'm sitting there, I look at him and I'm like, is that what I think that is? And he goes, oh, you bet it, buddy. I'm like, how in the hell did you get that? He goes, never mind. I'm like, you're right. I don't even want to know. So he ain't going, yeah. I don't want to know. Is it any good? That was the next question I asked. But
it fell off a camo-colored truck. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
You got it.
Man. It's not a coincidence, ladies and gentlemen. You've got to step back and look at things big picture. Okay? You keep looking at these small little chasms or the small little reports that they tell you in the mainstream media. Number one, you've got to understand 90% of what they tell you is bullshit. I mean, I swear, I were walking through a room and the television's on with the local news thing, and he says, just reported today, the sky is blue. I would go out and look. Because I'm not going to trust them. I'm not. No, I'll be like, you know what? It's been blue all my life, but you know what? Since you said it, I don't believe it. I better go check.
Yeah, and then the next hour, if they say water's wet, you better run to the faucet. Because there's probably a problem. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We've got to stop feeding this beast that is the mainstream media, because it's all puppet controlled. It's manufactured and handed down to you to express a narrative to get the subsequent emotional reaction out of you that will allow them to justify their actions. We've got to walk away from it. Stop feeding it. Turn your friggin' TVs off. Turn them off. News station comes on, turn it off. Call your cable provider, say, I don't want Fox News, CNN, anything that says anything about news, please do not put it across my thing. I would rather just watch garbage. Be quite honest, you can learn a lot more by sitting and looking at a pile of garbage than you can from listening to the mainstream media.
Well, you know, actual garbage would be educational. You're right. And I'll tell you something else. For those that think that this is just, well, you're just talking craziness, because why would the government want drugs on the street and everything? You know, if it doesn't feed directly into, if the population is distracted by the chemicals, if the population is distracted by the fact that their health is so poor, if the population is distracted by all the nonsense in the consciousness stream, including the mainstream media, including even some of the controlled alternative media, and things like this. If the entire population is so busy staring down at their phones, coughing, hacking, and going blind, what do you think that makes it easier for them to do? To tell you that you need to be protected from these boogeymen that they've already informed you about, et cetera, et cetera. And how does that work, Lee?
These people. Well, you've got so many factors as to why the federal government would want illegal drugs on the streets. You know, when you factor in privatized prisons, when you factor in how much the state gets per privatized prisoner, gets put into these prisons, by all means, you've got to have a reason to have these jackbooted thugs running around in military gear. We've got to be able to justify this. So let's put the boogeyman out there, a.k.a. cocaine, heroin, and whatever, and we'll call it all bad. It's totally destructive. It will kill your family, you know, destroy everything that's near and dear to you. So we're going to have our little boys in blue. They're going to come around, ruffle you up, go through all your personal stuff, and make sure that you're not messing around with this dangerous boogeyman and playing, you know, Russian roulette with your own life. And
well,
see
right
there, you keep the public afraid of themselves.
And, hey, listen, if you take the other industrial complex, that being the pharmaceutical complex, if you take their stuff, you'll be just fine.
Oh, yeah. Everything will be hunky-dory, hunky-dory. On that note, man, we are nearing the top of the hour. We do have to take a quick commercial break here and play some ads, pay some bills, and we'll be back here with Chuck Ocelli. You're more than welcome to hang around and we'll keep on going here in the second hour, buddy, right here.
You don't mind, sure.
Quest for Liberty.
And now, Last Voice for Liberty presents Celebrity Words of Wisdom.
And what we need to do is change the way in which people think about guns, especially young people. One thing that I think is clear with young people and with adults as well is that we just have to be repetitive about this. It's not enough to simply have a catchy ad on a Monday and then only do it every Monday. We need to do this every day of the week and just really brainwash people into thinking about guns in a vastly different way.
Join us next time when Last Voice for Liberty presents celebrity words of wisdom.
Hi friends, when it comes to reaching your audience, the best approach is in person. If you have a band, business, or charity event, you want to reach people in the best ways and venues possible. If you're touring in the Midwest, you need DMI Promotions. Their friendly staff is ready, willing, and able to assist you in venue locations and event promotions to make your show or event successful. Contact Tori Webb at 515-865-4463 or toriwebbdmi@gmail.com. DMI Promotions, your Midwest promotional team and proud sponsor of Truth Emerges Radio.
Today. I don't know what it is. Something's wrong with our eyes. We're seeing things in a different way. God knows it ain't his. It sure ain't no surprise. We're living on the
edge. Hey, hey, this is Liberty Lisa. You've reached the Truth Training. Non-judicial foreclosures, where they're just taking people's homes without even giving them due process. That's wrong. It's corrupt. It's criminal. It's fraud.
The Truth Training with Liberty Lisa. Tuesday nights, 6 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Only on Truth Emerges Radio.
The cause is bigger than just me. The cause is for everyone.
You're listening to Last Voice for Liberty with the Mouth. Join the second hour by calling 1-347-855-8301.
Congressman Paul, you voted against the war. Why are all your fellow Republicans up here wrong?
We talk about a humble foreign policy, no nation building, don't police the world. That is a conservative, it's a Republican, it's a pro-American, it follows the Founding Fathers, and besides, it follows the Constitution.
A wonderful, wonderful night to discuss an amazing document, and I'm looking forward to getting back to it, because it seems like every week something new and amazing pops out at us.
Yes, they want to claim that their way is decent society. Uh-huh. Their way is not decent society. Their way is control, subjugation, and slavery.
Constitution, Constitution, Constitution of the United States.
Oh, yeah. It's daytime for the Constitution. Tuesday nights, 8 p.m. Pacific. 10 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, only on NWO Truth Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Breaking the Oath Breakers on NWO Truth Radio. My name is Ted Jotty. I'm here with my co-host, Mr. Paul Rogers. Are you with us, Paul?
I'm right with you, Ted. How you doing today, brother?
Ultimately interlinked with the most nefarious psychopaths on the planet.
I was a part of it. I've seen it firsthand, and that's why I got the hell out of the military. I'm a very staunch constitutionalist, and I believe that the founding document and the original intent is what made us great to begin with.
Breaking the Oath Breakers, Wednesday nights, 7 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Central, 10 p.m. Eastern Time, only on NWO Truth Radio.
Friday Night Super Show.
And welcome to the Friday Night Super Show. I'm, of course, your host, The Mouse, laughing and scratching at being back again on our Friday nights with Dennis, Mr. Friday Night, for
Tag Team Champions of the World!
Here, again, Friday Night Super Show. Glad to be here. I want to thank everybody for tuning in.
Friday Night Super Show, 6 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern, on Truth Emerges Radio and NWO Truth Radio. You are awake, be aware.
That's an order, soldier.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the last Voice for Liberty right here on Truth Emerges Radio. I'm the Mouth laughing and scratching at you, joined by my guest this evening, Mr. Chuck Ocelli. We've been discussing false flags and how to recognize them and how they're utilized by our government to manipulate the will and the emotions of the American public and the general public around the world, for that matter. I'd like to get a little bit into this hour discussing how to recognize these things. And one of the, I'll kick us off here with one of the biggest tells of a false flag is extensive, absolutely ridiculously extensive media coverage. Chuck, wouldn't you agree?
Well, when you have the mainstream media, you know, outlets controlled by this very few, you know, this very select group of individuals, you know, it's obvious that they're all on the same agenda. They might be on slightly different sides of the page, but they seem to be on the same script, you know? And yeah, it's always obvious because, you know, an overblown amount of media in any case is always a serious tell. It's brutally obvious, in fact, because you can't escape the stories that they don't want you to escape. You know what I mean? If that's all you have, if you don't tune to the alternative streams, if you don't, you know, go out and find your own information, you will be confronted with the same stories over and over again. There's no such thing as individual journalism anymore. You know?
No, you've really got to get out there and get your information, seek it through the alternative media sources, because even yet you still have to vet a lot of that stuff as well, because there's always going to be disinformation everywhere. It's up to you really to do that research and get it figured out on your own. I mean, don't just go by my word or Chuck's word and think that what we're saying is gospel. By all means, we implore each and every one of you, look up what we're talking about. I mean, do some research and check us out. Make sure that we're not bullshitting you. Okay, and I do have to play this here real quick. Since it is the second hour and the gloves are off, I hope the kids are to bed, so here we go.
The following program is recommended for mature individuals and may contain material unsuitable for morons, cretins, and dishwipes. If you are a moron or a member of the PTL Club, please turn off your radio, because we don't need any more stupid, narrow-minded, pencil-neck geeks who wouldn't know the First Amendment if it came up and bit them on the butt. Thank you.
Is that right? The language does get a little bit more adult-oriented as we continue on to the second hour here, generally because I end up getting so pissed off. like we're saying, the extensive, overextensive, ridiculously extensive media coverage serves but one purpose. Number one, well, it serves a couple, actually. Number one, it gets you emotionally stimulated to, oh boy, I got to see this. This is because we, for some reason, as a people, slow down at traffic accidents. I don't understand why we do that. I never. Quick, let's everybody look over there.
Well, you know,
is there anybody
that's
dead? Can we see a dead body or something like that? And they do that. And number one, and number two, it's generally a distraction for something else that you really should be paying attention to.
That's the general disposition of people anyway, okay? We all are guilty of it in one way or another. It's the truth. But the other thing that's always incorporated with this, just I didn't want to miss this, is always there are these authoritative talking heads. There are go-to guys when it comes to striking upon the exact, for instance, when we noticed that the Ferguson story was being whipped up, okay? And I'm not saying that that's a false flag operation, but I'm just giving you a very current media story, right? What do we have automatically? We have the usual suspects regarding, you know, the issues of race, regarding the issues of this type of stuff, automatically coming out of the woodwork. All of a sudden, they have the money to fly wherever they need to go. All of a sudden, they have the ability to get on camera. All of a sudden, we're confronted with the new Black Panthers. All of a sudden, we're confronted with, you know, CI number what? Seven, I think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and on and on and on, right? And when you see that, the appeal to authority is now you have spokespeople. So this is another element that comes out. If there's a naturally developing news story, these spokespeople don't flock to it. Let's never forget that, unless mm-hmm. it's something that is being utilized and manipulated for a purpose. And especially lately, like you said, Lee, I mean, you know, when it comes to the, you know, the NDAA, the, you know, Patriot Act 1 and 2, et cetera, the other pieces of legislation that we probably haven't even fully unearthed yet because, you know, they build these things into bills that are 6 feet high, of course, you know, to print them out on paper, which nobody reads. Well, what do you get? you know, and this is all the justification. But they need that appeal to authority, so they create these authoritative puppets. They parade them out there, and then they tell you what's going on. So they tell you how to interpret the situation that they've already whipped up into a frenzy. This is something that happens with every false flag, though, I promise you. There is always the need for military analysis. The individuals that will tell you all about the Muslim extremists, et cetera, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this is always a hallmark as well.
Yeah, we've got our experts here. You're right. This is such and such from you know, some university that we, you know, obviously have been integrating our own agenda there at these universities. If you have talked to any of these kids coming out of college nowadays, you spend about 10 minutes talking with them and you'll figure it out real quick. So they parade out these talking heads. Oh, well, I'm an expert on this, and this is going to go this way. And the reason that this happened this way is because, well, you know, and they're trying to just tell you how to feel, tell you how to think. They want you to not think on your own, because if you do, if you start thinking on your own, it becomes real obvious real quick who's pulling the strings.
That is the problem, and the additional thing that goes on with it after the talking heads, the authority figures that you're supposed to make that appeal to authority to, after they're paraded out, then, of course, they are immediately followed up by the typical cover-up artists who will now lay out the entire narrative based on what the authoritarian figures said, okay? Mm-hmm. And that's the way it works. And then, you know, just for good measure, they may actually give you one of those live, you know, press conferences where it's supposed to be important, because at one time, you know, in America, if the president went on TV, it was a big deal. So mm-hmm. they're still utilizing that old school kind of mentality. See, that's the thing. A lot of their techniques aren't even effective to the sleepwalkers anymore, because who even watches a presidential press conference, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who even watches when they're going to make the big announcements, the replies, the retort? You know, even the people that are sleepwalking know that this isn't even the important part of the issue. Now, they may tune into their, you know, Alphabet, whatever, MSN, blah, 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 CNN, HLN, whatever it is, you know, the alphabet soup of nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
They'll tune into that, and they'll get the same story flipping around each channel and go, it must be true, because they told me about ISIS on all three of these stations. And Fox even said it, so now it's really true. You know. I don't know, man. It's sometimes it's depressing. But other times, it just absolutely reminds me why I have to continue doing what I do, why you have to continue doing what you do. And, you know, before we go any further, I just want to say I really appreciate you letting me on tonight, because this is an important issue, and I'm glad we're covering it. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you for being a part of it, man. Like I said, I try to do this once every couple of months, and because obviously it's not sinking into to everybody out there. It's incredible to me that I still have to come out and do it. But if we don't keep drilling, they're going to keep drilling the lies into everybody's head no matter what. So apparently we've got to fight fire with fire, and if we don't keep drilling in the reality and the truth to people, then they're just going to keep feeding the lies and keep going over to the feeder bar going, please, another lie pellet, please. Tell me something that is irrelevant to me, you know. we've got to counteract their lies with the truth, and we got to keep pounding it in and keep saying it, keep going over it over and over again. I think this is maybe the third or fourth show that I've done on false flags in my 3 years here, 3 years doing radio now. Come on, guys. Let's start snapping to it. The more and more of us that are coming along and starting to see it for what it is, but nobody's quite sure what to do after that. And that's where I want to get people going is, you know, there are steps you can take. You can stop watching their television. You can email them. You can call them. You can start going, hey, you guys are lying and full of crap. Quit doing it. What's going on here? You can start writing op-eds for you. Post a blog, get on a radio show, do something, you know, anything to let these people know, hey, your bullshit isn't flying anymore.
Well, I'll tell you what happened with me when I decided to start a show. The reason why is because I had talked to many alternative people, you know, alternative journalist people, alternative talk show hosts. I've been in contact with them, and they basically told me to pretty much stop bitching about the media and be the media then if that's what you want to do because, you know, look, you see things the way that we do. But your truth is a little bit different. You need to get your own view out there, and that's the only way you're going to have it, you know, broadcast. Stop complaining about it and do it differently. Now, I'll tell you something. I do feel kind of good, but I told you before I got mixed feelings about this because they started to change some of the narratives regarding what they're covering. When they started using terms like, you know, militarized police and things like this recently, I said to myself, you know, isn't that funny? We didn't hear about this only a few years ago, and we were all thinking about it. We were all watching it evolve. We were watching the police state rise, for God's sake. Why is it coming up now? I think that sometimes, I'm not saying that they're listening to you or they're listening to me, but I think they're starting to listen to the collection of all of us. I really do. And I'm hoping that that's true. I'm hoping that that's true.
I really hope so. I mean, that's kind of the whole goal as to why I started, you know, doing this myself. You know, I had never even heard an internet radio station ever. I had no knowledge about it, no knowledge of Blog Talk or anything like that when I first started doing The Last Voice for Liberty on YouTube. And, you know, we were recording our own podcast. I'd have people over. We'd sit and discuss this stuff, and we'd go on for like 2-3 hours, and I'd have to edit all that together and put it in a little video. It wasn't until Austin Thomas saw one of my videos and was like, dude, I want to get you on my show. I was like, what? I was like, huh? Me? Somebody wants to put me on live air somewhere? Like, have you seen my videos? It's like, man. You know how I talk, and just don't say the F-bomb, and you're good. Okay. Next thing you know, a couple weeks later, I got my own show there at Ego Miser, and I'm going on, trucking along. Next thing you know, I got 2 shows, 3 shows. Next thing you know, I'm on the air 5 nights a week. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, I'm an addict to it also. I'll be the first one to tell you I'm an addict doing this. I've always loved talk radio and doing talk radio, and I always said I could do it better, and I try to each and every time. But there's a reason I was doing this to begin with. It wasn't to be famous. It wasn't to be, oh, you know, I want to be the next Rush Limbaugh or the next Alex Jones. No. I wanted to save my country for my children. I have 4 children and a grandchild and some grandchildren now, man. More grandchildren coming. I can't in good conscience leave them this. I can't.
See,
and so therefore I stand up and I speak out.
Exactly where I'm at. I got 3 kids. And it's exactly for them that I'm doing this. That's the bottom line, you know, because I can't leave it the way it is. I mean, look, I realize that the generation before us left it the way they did, but I don't think they understood, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact
I know
that
they
I understand...
I've chastised them.
There you go. But the fact that I understand it means I have to do something about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I've said it before, you can direct your hate mail to Jack Blood because he was the guy who actually kicked the final straw on that one to get me on the air. So,
yeah, we love Jack Blood here. He's great. I can't wait till he gets back on the air.
Oh, yeah, he's going to be back Monday, by the way.
Yep.
So, you know. But anyway, You know, but this is the reality, is that, you know, you have to stop. You can wish for the world to be any way you want. That's fine. Mm-hmm. You know, you're all entitled to do so. But if you're going to try and examine the world for what it is, and you're going to try and change some of these things that are going on, I mean, because we could talk about all the different sides that we're being attacked on. And you know, if you notice, the MO is very much the same. Just like with the whole, you know, we're all being distracted from the greatest thing, which is really prevalent in everybody's lives, in my opinion anyway, which is the Federal Reserve, right?
Mm-hmm.
There is nothing which is more ubiquitous in the society than money. So
very
control
much so.
Of that and the way that it's being handled and everything else, if you notice, when they brought the Federal Reserve into being, if you take a look at the history, how did they do it? Well, they had to bring about a couple of crises first, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
Or crises. What is the plural there? Crises or crises?
Crises.
I'm not sure.
Crises.
Crises. Thank you. But either way, they had to do a couple of those first, didn't they?
Yes,
that's
they did.
Funny, because it kind of sounds like here's your problem, here's your reaction, here's your solution, which is worse than the problem, which is the never-ending story, in my opinion. And this
yeah,
is what happens with all this stuff.
It's perpetuated over and over again. I think that's just the basic formula for what these ideologues believe that how government works. You know, here, we'll make the problem, we'll give the reaction, and then we'll give a solution which will benefit us up here on the Hill, but for all you people, it's just for your safety. You take it and like it. You know, and we're sitting here with our hands out going, what? We're looking around going, what in the blue hell happened to us? How did this come about? How can we have such a secure nation, such a great, powerful military, and the most free country in the world, and yet all of a sudden these guys can sneak in and take over a plane with box cutters?
Mm-hmm.
Defying all FAA checkpoints and radar, NORAD, everything.
Well, you know,
no,
the best thing is to make a...
It doesn't just magically happen, guys. Go ahead.
Is to make a slave really love his slavery, right? I know I'm paraphrasing, but isn't that what we're supposed to be enduring here? Is we're supposed to be very content in our slavery? Yeah, I think that's really what the deal is. And meanwhile, let's, you know, divide and conquer and distract. And, you know, like I say, the weapons of mass distraction, you know, as opposed to the so-called weapons of mass destruction that we had to go in and do a little nation building for, which I was glad to hear that during your promos, you know, that being brought up. Nation building. Well, you know, that's not something that the United States is supposed to be involved in. Well, you know what? You're right. It isn't. And it actually, the United States isn't involved in it. It's another entity called Halliburton.
Mm-hmm.
There's a few others as well. And, of course, Halliburton came from Brown and Root, which, of course, you know, was involved in. Why should I go back to Vietnam? Well, anyway. you know, somebody's got to build with the stuff we break. Somebody's got to rebuild these things, don't they? Except, oh, there's one thing, though. You can't really rebuild people. You can't really rebuild human beings that you destroy, can you? You know, and this is the constant moral dilemma. And I find it so funny with these conservatives like you were talking about, how they absolutely embrace the idea of all-out warfare while clinging and claiming to have such a high moral authority, to be pious almost in their absolute Judeo-Christian belief systems, you know, forgetting, of course, that, you know, murder is murder, regardless of whether you, you know, decide that somebody happens to be justified because they're wearing a particular uniform or whatever else. And I'm not, again, not attacking the soldiers. I am saying...
Yeah, it's these the commanders they're in charge. We can't attack the soldiers individually. I suppose on one aspect one could. I mean, but it looks like we lost Chuck. Oh, good old Skype always loves playing games with everybody. But I suppose on one hand you could attack a soldier now. In the age of information, you know, ignorance is but a choice. But you also have to understand that. Our military has had military families have a proud tradition amongst themselves. You know, they take that stuff real seriously. They want to be of that idea that
you know, my father went and fought and died for this country. Soldiers are fighting and dying for our freedoms. And so I'm going to go and try and be a part of that is what I want to do. That's what I want to do. And I can see that. I can see that. I really can see the patriotism and the love enough for country to believe that you're actually going to be able to get out there and make a difference and fight for the freedoms of Americans. The unfortunate reality of it all now, ladies and gentlemen, is, and you can look this up and start take this advice. We are the ones causing the problems. We are the ones funding these terrorist groups. This ISIS, you mean formerly the Syrian rebels that we were giving a whole bunch of guns and ammunition and everything else to while they were still in Syria to topple the Assad regime. Guess what? Where did that end up going? Where did the guns from the Benghazi situation go? The awful, let's sweep that under the rug real quick. Oh, nobody look at that. Of course, you bring that up to any of these Hillary supporters, and then they act like you're the worst person. Oh, that's old news. No, that's their track record, ladies and gentlemen. This is what these people have done. You're not going to sit there and hire a guy to guard your bank vault who's been arrested 4 times for robbery. I mean, how silly are you going to be? Let's make this person a president who's been guilty of just totally being controlled by the CFR. We've got to look at these people for what they've done and start holding them accountable for this crap. Let's not play like, oh, it's just a mistake. Well, they just made a mistake. Should be only one job in the entire planet that you can fuck up that much and still keep it, and that should be weatherman, because you never know what HARP's going to do. Unless you are tied in with HARP and you still keep making the wrong weather forecast, then by all means, you should be fired because you know it was going to happen anyway. The ridiculousness of us following along with these talking heads, of being controlled by these oligarchs, ladies and gentlemen, manipulated, murdered by these oligarchs, has to come to an end. This has to cease incredibly quickly, or it's only going to get worse. Worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. And why would we want that? Why would we leave that for our children, for our children's children, for our grandchildren's children? I want them to live long and fruitful lives in a country where they can be free, not where they can be free by permission or free according to committee. Only as free as we're going to let you. We need to get the government out of our lives. I'm all for the complete abolishing of this government. I really am. I think they've gone out of control. They've lost any type of touch with the people we the people. They've manipulated legislation and words and the Constitution. The Constitution is now pretty much null and void. Why? Number one, it's a contract. It was a contract signed over 200 years ago by people who are not alive. Number two, they don't abide by it. They have not for a very long time. Just like Chuck said, if you want a point of reference, take a look at the Federal Reserve. Highly illegal. There is no power granted in the Constitution to allow Congress to give away their constitutionally mandated duty. This entire government needs to be abolished. The people in it need to be hung from the highest tree in the land. The people who have been corrupting it, bankers, lobbyists, corporate interests, foreign interests, hung from the tallest tree in the land right up next to them. They're all conspirators in this. You sit there, oh, here he goes, Mr. Conspiracy's going at it again. Not everything's a conspiracy, Lee. Yeah, well, guess what? It kind of is. Look at it. Step back. Pull your head out of your keister and open your friggin' eyes already. It is a conspiracy. a giant, vast conspiracy bent towards world domination. I know I sound like a goddamn G.I. Joe cartoon, but for Pete's sakes, ladies and gentlemen, that's what's going on. That's why they sit there and laugh at us. Oh, go get your tinfoil hat on, Mr. Conspiracy Theory. Because it sounds so ridiculous when I have to say it. But when you step back and you look at all this big picture, you can start seeing how the web spreads out, how it's all interconnected. You know, probably the last true statesman that this country had, and I'm not saying he was perfect, because God forbid we ever get a perfect person in politics. I think I'll just keel over dead right on the spot. But one man that warned us a lot about this and did it for a good 30 years and was trying to fight it in the system while still being guilty of allowing the Federal Reserve to continue on, but still and yet. He brought these points up. And I'm going to play this three-minute clip here because it's a chord that needs to be struck with each and every person in this country. Each and every person in this country at some point in time should listen to this three-minute speech because it will make you think. It will make you open your eyes. Ladies and gentlemen, Last Voice for Liberty presents Dr. Ron Paul.
I have a few questions for my colleagues. What if our foreign policy of the past century is deeply flawed and has not served our national security interests? What if we wake up one day and realize that the terrorist threat is a predictable consequence of our meddling in the affairs of others and has nothing to do with us being free and prosperous? What if propping up repressive regimes in the Middle East endangers both the United States and Israel? What if occupying countries like Iraq and Afghanistan and bombing Pakistan is directly related to the hatred directed toward us? What if someday it dawns on us that losing over 5,000 American military personnel in the Middle East since 9/11 is not a fair trade-off for the loss of nearly 3,000 American citizens, no matter how many Iraqi, Pakistani, and Afghan people are killed or displaced? What if we finally decide that torture, even if called enhanced interrogation technique, is self-destructive and produces no useful information, and that contracting it out to a third world nation is just as evil? What if it is finally realized that war and military spending is always destructive to the economy? What if all wartime spending is paid for through the deceitful and evil process of inflating and borrowing? What if we finally see that wartime conditions always undermine personal liberty? What if conservatives who preach small government wake up and realize that our interventionist foreign policy provides the greatest incentive to expand the government? What if conservatives understood once again that their only logical position is to reject military intervention in managing an empire throughout the world? What if the American people woke up and understood that the official reasons for going to war are almost always based on lies and promoted by war propaganda in order to serve special interests? What if we as a nation came to realize that the quest for empire eventually destroys all great nations? What if Obama has no intention of leaving Iraq? What if a military draft is being planned for the war that will spread if our foreign policy is not changed? What if the American people learn the truth, that our foreign policy has nothing to do with national security, that it never changes from one administration to the next? What if war and preparation for war is a racket serving the special interests? What if President Obama is completely wrong about Afghanistan and turns out worse than Iraq and Vietnam put together? What if diplomacy is found to be superior to bombs and bribes in protecting America? What happens if my concerns are completely unfounded? Nothing. But what happens if my concerns are justified and ignored? Nothing good.
And there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. That's kind of what we've been talking about all night in a nutshell. Here's this man's been trying to warn us And I think maybe one of the biggest lessons that I'm taking away from Ron Paul and his career in Congress is that the system is beyond fixing. Here's a man in, towards his last presidential campaign run had a massive following of people, more and more people waking up. More and more people are figuring it out. He set the ball rolling for this entire liberty movement. He did. But did working within the system work for Congressman Paul? I have to say no, it didn't, because nothing has changed. We still have an illegal Federal Reserve. We still have a Patriot Act. We still have an NDAA. We still have our rights being violated by the day. We still have a militarized police force, a standing army formed. You know what separates the military from the police? Equipment and training. So what if they're not training these guys like soldiers? So it's okay. We can still give them all the military equipment, but we're not training them like soldiers, so they're not really an army. No, they are. They're a standing army set out to protect the interests of the state. Not to protect and serve. These are corporations. Police departments are corporations, 90% or 80% of them, excuse me, in the country, bankrupt corporations and operating illegally. They have to contract with your city. Okay? Each police department has a city, has a contract with the city that they're in. And when these things are bankrupt, they still are allowed. Why is that? Why is that continuing on? Why do we keep falling for this fallacy of lies and deceit when none of it has any legal standing at all in what is actual law? You can tell this, the ignorance and the dumbing down of people, even within the system. As I discussed before, police officers, and including probation officers, are all taught about the right to free travel. They're taught about this in their criminal justice classes. But yet they go out onto the street and harass, detain, take people's property, and write exorbitant amount tickets to people to generate revenue for the state for what? Driving without a license. Well, guess what? I'm not driving without a license. I'm traveling. I do not require a license. They know this, but yet they willingly go out and do it anyway. Now, can you say, oh, they're just dumb, they don't know any better? No, they do know better. They've been taught. They've also been taught, once they get to the department and start getting put out onto the street, that doesn't matter. Your job is to generate revenue. We got bills to pay, buddy. Use that badge and use that gun and get out there and get us some money. We got a case of, what, four or five Florida, in a town in Florida there. I can't quite grasp the name of it right now. It's slipping my tongue. But they're actually bringing along the whistleblowing, saying, no, they're making us have quotas as how many tickets we need to write a day or a month or a week. That's not protecting and serving, ladies and gentlemen. That's not looking out for the public interest. That is revenue generation. Now, when did it become all right to fleece people for nothing? When did it become okay and acceptable that a police officer, who in most states, if you turn on your emergency lights in one of those vehicles, and it is not an emergency, that is a Class D felony. When was the last time you were driving down the street and a cop was going the other direction, and all of a sudden he saw something that wasn't right with your car? Say you had a headlight out or a taillight out. He flips an illegal U-turn in the middle of the street, whips on his lights, and comes flying up at you at the speed of light to pull you over. Now, what is the life or death emergency there? There isn't one. That's called, oh, look, I can make some money for the state. That's what they do, because that's what their job is. I believe in the abolishment of all local police departments. You should have a county sheriff, and that should be sufficient. Sheriff's department, and that should be sufficient. Local police departments don't do anything but show up after the fact. And believe me, I think it was, I can't remember his name. Works with Cop Block, was down in Ferguson. I shared his status. Barney Cox shared his status earlier today. Or yesterday, where he said, you know, calling 911 on somebody is the equivalent of basically punching them in the face. When you call the police, you can guarantee that whatever, however bad the situation is, it is going to be worse, completely worse, made by the police. We need to walk away from this and start taking self-responsibility, self-ownership. Am I saying, oh, you know, somebody comes on your yard, shoot them? No. I'm not saying this. This is with the inevitable argument that people always walk down when you start talking about anarchy and getting rid of these establishment control figures. Then people, oh, everything's going to go to chaos. If we didn't have police, everything would go to chaos. No, I don't believe it would. I believe police bring more chaos than anyone else. I believe that government brings more chaos and more death than anyone else. You want to talk about these terrorists in foreign lands who are, you know, putting together paper mache rockets, but yet somehow they're going to come here and kill all of us. If we didn't have our militarized police, if we didn't have our military over in their lands killing their people, then by all means, those people would come over here and they would want to kill each and every last one of us. And the constant threat, the Muslim threat, Sharia law or Shirley law or whatever the hell it's called, I don't even know. They put this threat, oh, they're just going to come over here and rape your women and cut your heads off and everything. Excuse me. And cut your heads off. And that's going to be it. They're going to impose Sharia law right here. Yeah. Let me ask you something. How many police officers and military personnel do we actually have working for this country? Because is it 330 million? Is it even 300 million? Is it even 2 million? Let me tell you. There aren't enough police and military to impose Sharia law on a country this size. Don't fall for their scare tactics. Is there a possibility you can walk outside your house and get killed? Yes. Frozen poo could fall from a plane out of the sky. It could hail. These giant, you've seen the giant, you know, almost bowling ball, baseball-sized pieces of hail. Imagine one of those things fall out of the sky, cock down the head, bam, you're done. Should that mean don't ever go outside again? No. What it means is that death can lurk anywhere. And whether it's going to come from some jihadist across the pond or from somebody right around here, you can be rest assured that government had a great deal to do with that. A great deal to do with that. I'm going to find this other clip here. What we need to get away from. Oh, no. Looks like I just had the man himself pop up in the studio. And I'm sure he's going to put up his hand any second and say some very cheerful things to us. If not, I'm going to bring him in anyway because, well, I'm that crazy, and that's just what I do. My brother from another mother, ladies and gentlemen, Dennis Ford.
What's going on, Lee?
Oh, you know, just trying to mosey on through this last half hour. I feel like I'm stuck in molasses, and my ass is dragging in it. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Felt like that today with work and everything else. So, yeah, I know the feeling.
Yeah,
either
we had,
way, sorry about that, man. I meant to join you earlier, but, you know, so much going on. You know how Mondays are for me sometimes.
Yep. I know exactly what you mean. Oh, excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, sorry, my little medicine break there. Kind of grabbed me by the boo-boo. We had Chuck on earlier. Chuck Ocelli joined us for a while. Then his modem lost power. And so I've just been kind of trying to wing it ever since. I've got a lot of things going on around here, me in the studio. And, of course, you know, my Mondays always get crazy, and I'm just trying to get this across to people. You know, the ideas of these false flags, they've got to recognize them when they happen, be able to look for the signs and be able to identify them so then they don't fall for this propaganda anymore, from the World War II, from Vietnam, from Sandy Hoax, 9/11, you know, Boston, and now this recent beheading video. People have got to recognize it because they're throwing away not only their individual sovereignty, but their freedoms and their rights right along with it the more they buy into these things.
True that. Yeah, also, man, with the false flags, people forget. I forgot the guy that said it. I believe he's a politician. Some people even say Winston Churchill said this, but, you know, their old credo, never let a good crisis go to waste, is true, and this is why we have, you know, events like this, because mm-hmm. false flags or whatever, because when things aren't happening quick enough, they'll definitely use a false flag because they're efficient. You know, I hate to say that, but they're very efficient in the you know, how they map out. And as you know, these people profit from war, and they like death, and they like destruction. So, of course, they're going to keep using that because, it's, like I said, it's very effective. People fall for it every time, and then not till later on do we realize that it wasn't a conspiracy. They really did plan certain events out, and you just named off a bunch of them. And I'm pretty sure, you know, call me crazy, but I'm pretty sure there's a few that we don't know that were actually false flags, you know, other governments, not only our own government.
I would not even second guess you on that one bit. I would venture out to say most assuredly there's a lot that we probably don't know about yet still. And once you start down the path, it's like me and Chuck made a reference to this earlier. You know, once you start knowing and you know what's going on, you have to stand up and say something about it. If you don't, then you're irresponsible and a fool. A selfish prick of a fool.
The first day, when Sandy Hook was going on, that was some of the first things I was seeing is people, you know, YouTube videos, everything, false flag. I kept seeing that. And every time an event happens, whether, you know, it's a major event that we see on the television is a dead giveaway, especially if the mainstream media picks it up by, you know, every network that you change or you look at is talking about the same thing. Yeah, chances are it might be tied into a false flag or possibly a false flag event. Orchestrated by, like you were talking about, these sick individuals, man, these people that have found a way to make a lot of money through death and destruction, so they want to keep that going. You know, again, like I said, it's a business, right? Correct me if I'm wrong, but
that's
war
right.
is a business, and they, you know, if you're running a business, you want to keep it going, just like I was talking about briefly the other night with the prison industrial complex, because that one right there is really starting to get on my nerves why this is going on. But either way, it's the same deal. If you got a business, you're going to orchestrate and pull the strings to keep your business running. You know, because the last thing you want is the business to go under and you start losing money. Because let's be honest about the whole thing. These people are making billions of dollars from this. So that's another thing I want to let people know, too, is when it comes to a false flag, no expense is spared. You know, they go all out, especially, like I said, if it's going to benefit them in the future where they can profit from, you know, this war on terror and everything else that we got from one of the most famous false flag events, 9/11, which is actually coming up in a few weeks, maybe another week, I think.
Yep. Well, what's today? Today's the first. Holy crap.
Mm-hmm. 10 days. 10 days, we're going to relive one of the worst days in human history. And like I said, one of the things that came out of that was the war on terror, which they, you know, been fighting all along to them. But like you said, when you're funding and giving terrorist groups guns and then you want to fight them when they don't fall in line, there's something wrong with that. Seriously, there's something wrong with that. You know, we got to look at ourselves.
That whole track of logic makes absolutely no sense to me whatsoever.
Right. We got to look at ourselves, too, Lee, because, you know, I understand people don't get along, and I understand countries have conflicts, and whether it's religion, money, whatever the situation is, you know, we got to figure out what we can do as a human race, man, to get away from this. But it's so embedded in us, it's so implanted and branded on our brains that this is just the way life is. And like I said, these people are making a lot of money out of it, so of course they're going to create propaganda, false flag events, television, mainstream media takeovers to blind us and distract us and make us think, you know, this is the way we should be living. Again, another great illusion orchestrated by these people.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, when you look at the word Illuminati, I always think of the word illusion because that's what these people are doing. They're magicians, man. They're excellent at what they do. And they're not stupid people. You know, these people are apparently highly intelligent if they can manipulate and dupe or bamboozle millions of people on a daily basis. I mean, that takes some brains. So,
I'm
not giving them credit, but you do have to give the devil credit every once in a while.
We do have to give them credit. I mean, look at what they've done. You know, they've got everybody so embraced in their thinking that, oh, government's always right, and they're just out looking for our best interests and everything else. They've duped generations. They've said and told a lie that has lasted for decades, man.
Right.
Decades.
And they stick.
And I've got to give them credit. Because this is like Lex Luthor in scope.
Yep. Meanwhile, like the old cartoons, meanwhile, at the Legion of Doom.
That's the Hall of Doom.
Yeah, the Hall of Doom. I'm sorry. Yeah, man. That's
like
what's
Darth
going on.
Vader's head and shit.
Yeah, instead, though, it's meanwhile at the Bohemian Grove.
Yep.
And you know, that's the real-life situation compared to, a comic book. But that's what we're, you know, that's another thing. If you look at some of the stories in comics and even in mainstream movies and books, this concept is always sold to us, these diabolical people that want to take over the world. You know, like that song, man, everybody wants to rule the world. So we keep seeing it, and it's just embedded in us that there's always going to be some boogeyman trying to corrupt the world and destroy things. But in reality, when you start learning and you lift the veil, you'll find out that the people that are telling us that are the people doing it.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
They're like, don't go over there. Dangerous, and there's terrorists, yep. And then you find out our government is full of terrorists, people that manipulate and are corrupt to the core. You know, again, things like that in today's society and all throughout history get people in a lot of trouble for even having that thought in their head that the government could be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's you're insane. You know,
that's, like you said, you're
a conspiracy theorist.
Yeah,
what's
we're coming to that. We're coming to that, though. People say, oh, this country's never going to get to where, you know, you're getting executed because you disagree with the government. Like, really? Really? You're already being detained indefinitely for disagreeing
right.
with the government. I mean, since the inception of the NDAA, how many American people just all of a sudden up and disappeared? Oh, people disappear every day. You know, maybe they just went and got a new life. Maybe died in a ditch somewhere. Maybe he's sitting in a cell with no way to contact anybody, and no one's going to tell anybody about it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Maybe some of these high-profile deaths in the movement that happened recently, your Breitbarts and things like that, maybe these guys aren't dead, or they're just being held and silenced. These people, it's incredible. The scope, if you take away that possibility, then you're absolutely not allowing yourself to understand the situation. You're completely deluding yourself of anything that's actually written in stone, because it is written on these documents in this law that, hey, they can do this. And to take it out of the realm of possibility, I think without absolute 100% proof, You're lying to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And go stick your head back in the sand.
Right. And again, these events, majority of them are tragic. You know, not to take away from anything that may happen in these staged events. You know, even if they, let's just say, for instance, the false flags weren't false flags and they really did happen. But again, you got to pull some strings. A lot of these events are just not going to spontaneously happen. It takes planning.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, like you said, going along, the more you get into researching, I hate to even say researching, I'm just doing stuff. Once you start doing things, you start connecting the dots, you start to figure out, like you said, when a thing, when it happens, you can automatically say, oh, well, that's, you know, false flag. And it's, that's pretty bad. You know, that's pretty bad, yeah, that we can see it and other people can't see it because they don't even know what the term false flag is. But they know what MTV is, you know. So,
oh, yeah. They know who Lady Gaga is. They know who the, I don't even know who Lady Gaga is.
Well, that's a good thing. That's good. Be proud of yourself.
Yeah. There's a reason I don't know this, ladies and gentlemen. It's because it's not worth knowing. You know, my old man used to say that one of his greatest things, you know why I don't know anything about that boy? And I was like, why? Because it ain't worth knowing. Like, Dad, you ever heard the Dead Kennedys? You know why I don't know anything about the Dead Kennedys, boy? Because they ain't worth knowing. But actually, they were, Dad. And I don't care if you don't like them. I'm going to play them at a loud volume anyway. He hated the Dead Kennedys. He always hated them. He wouldn't even listen to what they were singing about. It was just Jello Biafra's voice that drove him nuts.
Right. Yeah, but, you know, to touch on something real quick, it's fascinating to get, you know, to have somebody in a conversation, you know, if you're having a conversation with somebody and just sit there for a few minutes and just see what they're talking about. And so many people know so much useless information. So when I start talking to them, I'm like, do you know about this or do you know about that? You know, they have the deer in the headlights look and they don't really know where to even start. So what I do more recently in the last few years is just write up a quick little list of, like, key points and major things that people should go check out, and I give it to people, and it's on them, you know, to go home and look that stuff up. But like you said earlier, like we always say, in the information age, you know, ignorance is a choice. You choose, you know, and I hate to say that. I hate to, because that sounds kind of like an asshole thing to say, you know. It's your fault. But in reality, it is, because these people are sitting, obtaining so much useless information, mainly through the television, like I said earlier. That's one of our biggest enemies.
And what we do,
because the television wants no parts of this stuff. And even if they do cover a quote-unquote conspiracy theory television show, you still have to take what they say and research it. They don't give you the whole picture of everything anyways.
They sure don't.
They do pretty good sometimes, but not all the time. And then, like I said, with the mainstream media and the way they're bought out, you can't take anything they say for word. But anyways, my point is that's part of our struggle right now, is that people are so wrapped up in things that don't matter. Like, they can tell you so much useless shit, especially, like I said, next time you have a conversation with somebody, you know, outside of what we do, you know, in your everyday life, whether it's work or whatever, just perceive what they, you know, just listen for a few minutes and let them tell you how smart they are, you know, how much shit they know about football and all the other useless things that people know about. And I do it too. I mean, there's a lot of subjects that I get into that have nothing to do with this, you know, activist movement or speaking out against tyranny and any of that. There's a lot of things that I do in my spare time that if I'm interested in it, I research it. You know, like if you want to cook, for instance, you like cooking, there's a lot of stuff out there to research on how to cook. There's a lot of different styles of cooking. There's all kinds of stuff. So I research that as well because that's something I care about. And when it comes to this information, I care about it because I think it's very vital and important that we as a people understand we cannot trust these people in power and we cannot trust the media. We cannot trust anything. Basically, at this point, Lee, in today's society, when a situation happens or an event happens or anything happens, you have to address it on your own because so many people are dependent on what the government tells them or what mainstream media tells them. They're like, okay, well, that's the gospel. It's not true. Everything you have to research on your own, even if it's a news story that has something to do with something completely off topic, you know, if it's a sports story. You still might want to, you know, if you're interested in that, you might want to research that because they're not going to give you everything. They're going to give you put there to tell you this is the information that you need to know, you know, because that's always what they tell us, Lee. You need to know this, and everything we don't need to know is confidential, or I think that's the word for it, or you know what I mean.
Classified.
Just classified, thank you. Classified information that's not for the peasants, not for the little people. So we need to start understanding that first, too, as a people, is that we got to stop relying on everybody else that's saying that they're good and they're here to protect us and they fight terrorists and they love us and, you know, we're basically slaves to them. But when they speak to us, everybody takes that as gospel. And then when election season runs around, they run out and vote for another one because they got tired of the other one. Because the other one wasn't doing what they said.
This guy wasn't doing what he said. And so then they vote in somebody else who's not going to do what he said.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm sorry.
Fascinating,
if I were to ever run for office and actually get elected by the people, I would end up getting arrested. in Washington, D.C., because people would, I'd be ready to put some boots and some asses. That's for damn sure. You know, I'm not coming there to play. I'm coming there. We're going to set some shit right. You guys are going to get your heads out of your asses, or I'm going to forcefully remove it with my foot.
Right, and that's why I've been watching
your ass, fucking everything you eat to be soul food.
Right, and that's why I've been watching. You know, for instance, I know we're running out of time here, but
yeah,
you know,
we're
they don't want
just about slipping to overtime. I'm fine with doing some overtime. If you want to sit and talk for a while, we'll keep going.
Yeah, you know, the first thing is that they don't want people. I hate to use that term, they, but the United States government and politics, how they function here, they don't want people like us, Lee. They don't want people that will take the microphone and actually say something. They want people that are very well easily programmed and easily manipulated by currency and bribes and fast women and all that good stuff and drugs. And, you know, they want people like that. They want people that are easily corruptible, because me and you, we wouldn't last that long being a politician. You know, I thought about it myself, you know, just trying
to
move
up
through the ranks.
Why not? I like drugs and liquor.
I'm just saying, Lee, I'm just saying, that's human nature, and they know how to pick and pry at that, so they know how to manipulate politicians. It's very easy. It's just like manipulating anybody else. If you had enough money, you know, you could really, you know, you can make this person do cartwheels all day if you wanted to. But either way, they are easily corruptible, and, you know, somebody that has morals or somebody that represents, you know, not breaking for anybody, you know, like Scarface, man. Like, I'm not busting my balls for anybody sort
that's
of situation.
Right.
That's what they don't want. And it's not only politics. It's everything else that we consider important, you know, as far as entertainment, sports celebrities, et cetera, et cetera. Those people are easily manipulated. And they usually if you do become a politician, they get as much dirt on you as they can. So if you ever do get off the beaten path, same thing with celebrities. If you ever do mess up or you don't follow the script, they'll pull your card and they'll throw all this stuff on you.
You're absolutely right. We're not the type of people that they want. You know, the people that will stand up and won't bust our ball, we'll pull the Scarface on. We're not the type that they want, but we're the type that the people need. If
that's what we need.
Want to continue on this fallacy of government and have it actually work for the people like it's supposed to, like the original intent was, people need to understand that you need an asshole like me that's going to go in there and smack somebody upside the head, knock the false teeth out of Joe Biden's Zionist mouth. You need people
that's
like me that are going to walk up in there and grab that microphone and tell each and every one of my citizens in this country, all the people in this country, say, hey, guess what? These assholes have been lying to you for a long, long time. Okay,
yeah, like, cut his mic.
Perpetuating the lie and taking your freedoms and your liberties and trying to run your lives.
Exactly.
Get these assholes out. Get more people in here like me that actually, you know, want America to prosper, actually want the people to be able to live and have a decent life and have their children grow up without having to worry about whether or not the cops are going to accidentally bust in their door and throw a grenade in their baby's crib. Oops, wrong
Which has
house.
Happened. Which has happened more than once.
You know,
it's not the first time that ever happened either.
We have to start taking control of it. You know?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's 100 things you can put on the list, and that's just page one for people to start picking away, you know, to actually see the iceberg under the water. But either way, I don't know your feelings about T-Mont, and I don't know if you've been following him.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I check him out every once in a while because I kind of like his approach on certain things, whether it's politics or if he's just rambling, doing his thing in the car. I mean, I kind of like the way he approaches things sometimes. But either way, more recently he's been, you know, it was a debate or something that he was asked to be at. And he was there and he told the people what they needed to know. You know, people were clapping. They do that with politicians anyways. But if I was there, I would have stood up and gave him a standing ovation. I was like, that's what we need when I saw the video. I was like, we need individuals like that. And then even if he doesn't go there and use physical force, let's be honest, Lee, you, much like many others, we have a vocal ability where we don't really have to use our fist. You know, we have that gift. So,
well, see, I want to use my fist when I get there because,
I do
quite
too.
Frankly, I think all of them need an ass kicking, but I think a verbal ass kicking can work just as well.
Yeah, and I think it's at the end of the day, that's more efficient because that's how these people operate. You know, if you go up there and start throwing chairs and stuff around, they're gonna never let him back in here. That guy's crazy, and they'll paint you as a you know, they'll paint you as whatever the media says. But either way, a verbal lashing and a verbal exposing, especially using their microphones, is essentially what we need. That's why everybody was digging Ron Paul, you know, and I like Ron mm-hmm. Paul. And I appreciate what he was doing, and I appreciate what he did. But at the same time, he's not going to be allowed to operate. If he ever got close to the presidency, again, they would set up one of their mindless program idiots to go out and kill him, you know, because that's not above them either. They don't care who you are, and they'll spare as much money as it is to get you know, silence this person for good and get rid of them. So that's something they've been doing forever. So they didn't want us even in their system, and you got to play ball to even be allowed in it, and then once you get in it, you got to conform once you're in it, like Ron Paul did with the Republican thing. You know, if I was in his position, I would have just ran what I was doing and see how far it took me. And eventually he would have got shut out because they don't want a third party on the ballot. That's not part of the status quo. You know, that doesn't work. So, I mean,
you're
I appreciate what he
right.
does. And I hope more people follow the footsteps of Ron Paul. And that's why I kind of follow what T-Mont's been doing because he's using what he's passionate about. He's really actually speaking the truth. And that's a good thing. We need that in politics. But will it ever happen? That's another thing.
Yeah,
you know,
that's
because, like I said, these people love their money. They love their women. They get on television. I'm a married Christian and I have 4 children. And then you find out, you know, when they get caught, they've been banging hookers every weekend, going out and getting plastered, and you know, taking bribes and everything else. But yeah, that's neither here nor you know there. So, but we know they're corruptly. So we need people in there that won't be corrupt and will actually do the right thing and tell the truth. But it might cost you a life in these day and times. Is all I'm saying.
Yeah, and you've got to be willing. You've got to be willing to accept that as well. I mean, if you're going to get into this, and you know, it might not be long before we start reading an obituary on T-Mont. You know, and that would you'd break my heart. I love the guy. I think he's he's a no-nonsense kind of guy, and I really wish that the people of Georgia would have taken to him a little bit more to,
right.
You know, get him in that position when he ran for Congress. And, you know, I really wish he would have because
right.
he's a guy that would get down there and lay it down and tell these people, hey, look, you are what you're doing is wrong. What you've been doing is wrong.
Right.
And
you need
you know,
to be held accountable for it. And when I was watching this, real quick, I was watching a video where he was – you know, he was giving his viewpoint on some particular topic. I forgot what it was at the moment. But while he was talking, I could see a guy sitting off to his right, and the guy was just sitting there. It was a white guy, middle-aged, maybe whatever, politician, whatever he was. And then on the other side, there was a woman. And the woman was sitting there, and the guy was sitting next to him, and T-Mont was doing his thing. And the whole time he was talking, the guy sitting next to him, the older guy, was staring at him like he was out of his mind. Like he was like, this guy is saying things that I would never say. You know, I could read the guy's mind, what it was on his face. He was like, I would never say anything like that because I wouldn't be able to go golfing with Tim and Eric on Saturday. They would kick me out of their little fraternity and their secret societies. And, oh, God forbid you wouldn't have to go to a Mason meeting every weekend and sell out. Wouldn't that be terrible? Or whatever, Skull and Bones or whatever the hell these people are involved in, man. Shit's, it's, I don't know. It's pathetic, man. We got to get all that shit out of the system. All the little boy clubs where they no women are allowed. You know, it's like the little treehouse fort club for the politicians and the corrupt the individuals that operate in our pristine
Meanwhile,
government.
At the Bohemian
yeah.
Grove.
That's creepy shit, man. You know, that's like,
it is.
You know, what do you? How do these people explain, you know, I guess people don't really look at it once you're in it, you know, once you live that lifestyle. But, you know, a guy comes home and he's like, hey, honey, I got to go to the Bohemian Grove this weekend. And she's like, what's the Grove? But, you know, his wife probably knows by now because she knows every time he comes home, he's talking about how he don't remember anything. They were dressed up like women and all that other stuff. But, you know, once you're in that lifestyle, I guess people kind of just like, oh, okay, well, he's going to the Grove for 2 weeks. You know, he'll be back mm-hmm. home. But what
it's
goes
like
on in the Grove,
camp.
Yeah, and what goes on in the Grove and the people that are affiliated with the Grove are not the guy flipping burgers at Burger King right now. You know, these are the business moguls, the people that own shit, basically.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the big people, the people that sign checks for people that we think are rich. Yep, these people attend the Grove.
And oh, that's greasy. That's really fucking greasy.
Yeah, it's greasy. Greasy.
Nothing greasier than that, you know? And that's reality. That's not a Hollywood production. That's not a script.
Yeah, we kick it around with a little bit of humor and everything, but that is greasy. I mean,
yeah, that's pretty bad, man.
That's the Jekyll Island type stuff that, you know, that's this Bilderberg group type, the Council of Foreign Relations. These things actually happen. Okay, this is the reality of it. And if you don't think that it's greasy, that all these oligarchs get together and hang out with each other, go to their little summer camps or have their meetings, you don't think that this is all going to affect you in some point in time, it will. This is the reality of it, man. If we don't start putting these people in check and holding them accountable for what they've done and how they've manipulated not only us but our parents, our grandparents, then we're not going to see any change. We're going to have the same suit and tie bastards calling the shots for our kids and our kids' kids way on down the line. And I can't, you know what, for me, I can't stand for that. I can't have it.
Nope. And we may be fighting something that's, you know, not a losing battle, but pretty far-fetched. But for me, I wouldn't have it any other way. You know, whatever the outcome of this is, it is what it is. But like I said earlier, it's the right thing to do. And at this point, I'm not trying to be a part of the problem, you know, or contribute to the madness anymore. So, you know, if I lose friends, people don't, you know, really want to talk about it, they don't want to get into it, that's fine. I mean, I understand that, but there's going to come a day, you know, there's a day coming where people are, you know, this is going to be a bigger movement than we can even ever imagine. And whatever that leads to, I don't really know, Lee, but I'd be happy to be on the front line of it, you know, to be a part of it.
I'm in for the ride, and as far as I'm concerned, you know, people like us and the people with Cop Block and other groups and parts of this movement going around, we are the front lines because we're the first ones getting up there, standing out and saying, hey, look, things are wrong. Things are messed up over here. You know why they're messed up? This is why it's all messed up. Research it. Go look it up. Find out for yourselves. Mm-hmm. Come back to us. We're ready for it. You know, and we're kind of the ones, we're the Paul Revere's running around going, hey, the British are coming. And people look and stick their heads out the window, and the majority of them are laughing at us, going, oh, hey, put your tinfoil hat on.
Exactly.
And slowly but surely, they're coming. It's coming, and it's getting worse and worse and worse, and more people are waking up. They need to wake up a heck of a lot quicker because these oligarchs and the powers that be, quote-unquote, are going to be accelerating their plans at a very fast rate.
Oh, yeah. And, again, that's part of the issue is that the side, you know, not picking a side, but that particular side that we talk about, the dark side, if you want to call it that, but they are very well organized and very well efficient, like I said, in carrying out what they've been doing. So it's hard to break that. It's hard to tell people. You know, I mean, I can understand why people are like, oh, you're insane. You're tinfoil hat. You're out of your mind. That can never happen. Mm-hmm. Blah, blah, blah. You need to go out and party. You need to, you know, basically you need to be what we are. And you need to just be quiet and let things happen and just don't care about it. Because nobody cares. We don't care. You know, we're too busy running around and doing shit that we don't, you know, no business doing and buying shit we don't need and doing ice bucket challenges because that's important, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So don't shake us out of our boat because we're having such a good time over here and you are trying to ruin our good time.
God
forbid
you say something bad about idiots dumping ice water on their heads. Oh, for Pete's sake.
Don't do that.
I still got a buddy that's mad at me about that.
Yeah, I know. People get pissed, man.
I'm like, dude.
When I seen that, I was like, okay, you know, because I seen it before it even started catching on. I had people on my friends list, people I, you know personally, grew up with and whatnot, doing it, and I was like, okay, I can see this one day. You know, I can see the value of people maybe doing that to create awareness or whatever it was. But at the same time, I was like, you know, this might catch on. And next thing I know, every celebrity, every politician, they want to be a part of it because they want to let you know they're human.
Yep,
you know, they're human like you.
and look,
yeah.
I dumped cold water on me. And a lot of people are have taken it into meaning that, oh, if I dump this water on me, then I don't have to pay any money.
Right,
and
which is crazy.
Then a lot of people
only
are
only in the Orwellian nightmare would you have that, Lee. Only in this
exactly.
1984 messed up, backwards society, idiocracy shit we live in would you have people saying, oh, I'm going to film it and dump some water on myself so I don't have to donate $100 to help somebody in charity. Wow, really? That's great. How can people even be proud of themselves? Majority of people didn't even read the list or why they had to dump ice water on their head. They just did it to get likes and have comments, and people be like, oh, that's so cute. Here's a smiley face because I appreciate it. And people don't give a shit, Lee. They do not care about these people dying from this disease. Like I said, it's a small world. My grandfather died from that, and I learned about it when I was 13, and I didn't want to, but I learned all about what that disease is, and I wouldn't wish it on these elites. To put it that way, that's a terrible disease. Either way, people don't understand what they're doing. They're just following fads. It did create a little bit of buzz, but what about that story that came out last week that said more than 70% of the money that was supposed to go to research is not? So we already knew that, right, Lee?
Yep.
You know, they called us conspiracy theorists for saying that.
I had people tell me that I was sick and disgusting and only seeing you must be just living in a miserable world then. Your whole little world is just miserable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, kind of is. It really sucks. But I have to filter through all this garbage that the rest of you people aren't paying attention to because you're too busy dumping ice water on your head. Okay?
Right. Right.
Oh, by the way,
and
California is in severe drought. I hope all that water dumping in all over your head was worth it.
Detroit don't even have water. Also, the thing about it is when I seen that, you know, again, like I said, that's Orwellian type society stuff, but also it's just unnecessary things to clog up our news feed to keep us away. You know, like I said, I don't always post news stories or whatever it may be. I post music, whatever. The news feed is being filled with stupid shit like this. And like I said, it did create awareness. It, whatever, and like I said, you can call conspiracy theorists on that, but the company that was actually taking the donations admitted that, so that's not a conspiracy theory. Also,
that's fact.
When that comes out, you know, when that story comes out, don't you think the people would be outraged? Be like, I donated $100 just so I didn't have to dump water on myself, and they stole my money. They only used $10 of my $100 for any kind of research or progression in helping people, quote unquote, cure this disease. Which, mind you, they may have the cure for already, but from what I saw, that disease ain't no curing that. But that's just my own personal experience with it. But, again, to create awareness for it is a good thing, but if you're not looking, you know, I don't know if there could ever be a cure for that disease because it's pretty bad, you know, the effects of it. Either way, that's pretty bad when they take people's money and they lie about it and people don't get pissed off. But they get pissed off about, you know, a kid getting shot. By a white police officer, which has been going on too long, too. For another example of things that come across our news feed weekly that get blown out of proportion, way out of proportion.
No, definitely. Now, this whole shooting thing with the kid in the street, I understand the there's justifiable anger with these people you know, having dealt with a severe racism issue of, you know, cops in this town are predominantly targeting the black citizens in the town, then by all means, I can see the outrage, and I can see why the community would still be going on about this, because, hey, maybe they're sick and tired of it, if that's the reality of it. You know, I don't live there, so
I can get that.
I don't know.
I can understand that, and I could identify with that, but also, this is not one isolated incident. The police officers, we talk about this constantly, Lee. The police state and what's going on in this country is the problem. It's not some random incident that happened last couple weeks or whatever. This is an ongoing issue that needs to be addressed. Like I always say, man, what are they training these police officers, you know, basically brainwashing them into thinking that we're all criminals. We're all, regardless of your skin color, it's not a race issue at this point because they kill dogs too.
Mm-hmm.
Any kind of aggression, anybody that defies the mighty oligarch or doesn't respect their badge or respect their authority, as Cartman would say, is subject to death. And that's insanely crazy, and like I said, it's another part of this Orwellian 1984 society where people, we have accepted it so long. And even when the cops do get in trouble, it's just a court case and a vacation, go out and relax, come back, and they possibly get their job back. If not, it's never talked about again because they never get charged, man. They never do any time for basically murdering somebody. And if that was us, me or you, we'd be in a lot of trouble, possibly facing death penalty in certain states.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. But since you got a badge, oh, no.
And you took an oath.
No, we're not going to charge you with anything. No, you beat a homeless man to death.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, never forget that story either.
Never forget.
We were talking about that the other night, me and Chuck. You know, that story still bothers me because, you know, come on, man. That was completely unnecessary. It happened. A person died, and the cops, man, they should still be in prison for that.
Yeah.
But,
they should be doing 20 to life for what they did.
Something. I mean, at least 10 years, man, some kind of gratification, you know, but they don't even want to put police officers in prison because they know you have to put this cop somewhere else. Because they find out you're a cop, they're really going to, this dude's going to be, you know, that's another aspect of it. They don't want to send these people to prison because these people are really not liked. There's not too many police officers that go to prison that are going to fit into the clique.
Are going to be surviving for that
right.
much longer. And hey, well, then once again, we got to reflect on the personal responsibility. These idiots knew what the hell they were doing when they were beating this homeless man to death.
Pretty much.
They knew when he was crying out for his father, and they're beating him to death. They knew what was going. I'm sorry. They should be in prison in Gen Pop, and I would spray paint cop right on their prison uniform.
Yep, and it's messed up to have an emotion like that, to be cold-hearted towards these people, but you've seen what they did. It beat that man to death for nothing, just because they wanted to get some kicks off that night, you know. Oh, honey, I beat somebody to death at work today. My adrenaline was so high, it was such a rush. Yeah, because that's the way they look at it. Same way they murder people and kill people's dogs, man. I watched the whole thing about that earlier, when people are like, oh, it's just dogs, man. No. You know, a lot of people consider their dog family. I hate to say that. Not everybody treats their dog like shit. All right? Some people really do love their animals. And to see some of the stuff I was seeing, I'm like, wow, really? You know, there's other. You know, even if the dog bites you, Lee, dog's not going to kill you. You know, you can heal from that dog bite, you know. Let's just shoot it.
And generally, if the dog is coming out of somebody's house or their backyard, then that dog generally doesn't have a disease. Like rabies, you're not going to get rabies from
a house-trained dog with a collar,
you know?
Yeah. Duh. But and I don't think they think that.
You can tell an animal with rabies from an animal that doesn't have rabies, okay? I've seen it not only in dogs, but also in cats and even raccoons. I had to kill a rabid raccoon one night with a goddamn big rock because it was in between me and the car had the pistol in it.
Well, that's another thing. I'm just saying, you know, if it's... I don't know. There's situations involved, or it's life or death. If a dog is trying to be pissed off because you're beating it or throwing their owner around, and they're not used to that, you know, you think they might identify that the dog's probably scared and probably trying to
protect their own.
And the only way a dog can help, and that's to bark and bite people that are hurting its owner. But they don't see it that way. They're like, "Oh, this dog was going to bite my throat out and kill me. I had to shoot the dog." You know, and that's the first thing they do. They never tase the dog. I've never seen a police officer not have his gun drawn on a dog when a dog is in the area. You know, that's their first thing that crosses their mind. It's like, this dog comes to me, I'm going to shoot it. And that's what they do. And it's a tragic thing for anybody to have to go through to see your dog murdered in front of you. Mind you, this continues to happen. Not only them killing people, all right? They're killing dogs. It's like a genocide with people's dogs. If you got a cop come to your house, please put your dog in a bathroom or something. Don't even have the dog in the vicinity of these people, because if it
don't
shows any aggression,
police.
They're going to shoot your dog. And I hate to
don't
say that,
call the
but
police. Every time you call
show,
the police,
right.
It makes things 10 times worse. 10
right.
times
You said that
worse.
Earlier, right?
Mm-hmm. You expect,
true.
Expect the situation that's in to get 10 times worse if you call the police. That's
well,
all they do. Is they make things worse.
It does play into people actually owning up to things that are going on around you, being aware to government tyranny and corruption is one thing, but just being aware of your surroundings and the things that you're involved in, you know, you can pretty much operate pretty well if you're, you know, eighth grade education, I would say, or more. You can pretty much be okay. But a lot of people involve themselves in situations and things that happen in their lives where this is, you know, the only thing they can do. And they get in a lot more trouble, like you said. But for me, you know, you in your life, man, I'm not trying to give a moral lesson to anybody or anything like that, but I'm just saying you can kind of gauge, you know, your surroundings and what you're doing in a particular moment to be like, you know, a cop could possibly be involved in this situation if I don't remove myself. And that happens all the time, especially in the ghettos and stuff, man. These people wonder why cops are always showing up in neighborhoods, but they're, you know, you see the corruption in the things that we all deal with, not just the ghettos, but in everyday society. People just walk around just not giving a shit about nobody, you know, worried about money. And that's why the police are sort of the way they are, why they treat us all that way. And I'm not saying these are bad people either. You know, they're just trying to live and survive like all of us. And it has to do with rap music, too. I blame the rap music because they perpetuate that lifestyle. You know, I'm a thug, son. I'll pistol whip you in the mall if you look at my shoes. You know, so it's the weird shit we're dealing with, man. It's like a society full of...
Mall if you look. Remind me never to look at your shoes in the mall.
Yeah, don't look at my shoes, son.
I'll
pistol whip you.
For looking at somebody's shoes. Marked as a trick. Stepped on my sneakers.
Yeah.
Poured more
and
salt
it's never,
all over them.
This is off the subject, Lee, but this ties into this generation that is growing up right now. And even my generation, because it happened a lot in my generation and probably in yours. But, you know, fights, man. When I was growing up, if you had a problem with somebody, like if me and you really had a problem, Lee, and some shit was going down, me and you, we would probably end up having a fist fight. And it'd be one-on-one with probably a bunch of people, you know, surrounded, doing whatever they do, in the middle of a school or in a backyard after we got out of school one day. Today's kids, it's like five dudes, man, just walking up on somebody and beating the shit out of them for no, you know, most of the time, no reason at all. It could be somebody random on the street. But kids are so afraid in this generation to get their ass whooped. You know, I lost fights. That's part of the nature of the beast.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're going to get your ass whooped once or twice, or it's going to happen. You know, you got to accept that. You're going to get hit. These kids don't even want to experience that. So instead of fighting, they'll jump you and beat your ass, or they'll shoot you.
That's the coward way. You know, it's like, I hate to borrow it from that movie, man, but it's like the dad said in Friday. It's like, you know,
you
may win, you may lose, but you live. You live to fight another day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's what it's all about, man. And we got kids way too quick to get on their triggers and way too quick to, I'll just shoot you. Or I'll drive by your house and shoot up your house and shit like that. You know, they're way too quick to do that. And then you wonder why the police have such itchy trigger fingers.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And also, like I said, I'm not advocating people fight at all. But I'm just saying, when I was growing up, there was a certain way to handle situations. And the generations, this one and the one that grew up in the 90s, are, you know, 90s, 2000s, and now, these generations of kids, man, are, I don't know. Hopefully, you know, the old saying, these are our future leaders, doesn't apply to them because we're in trouble if they are. And we need – that's another problem, man, to address what's really going on in our culture, because even as adults, we're force-fed death on a daily basis, you know? I don't watch TV much because when I do, I'm flipping through, and I'm just seeing, like, bloodbath, 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 murder case, bloodbath, just destruction and death is all we're ever fed. So no wonder people are out of control, you know? And I don't know. I don't know what could change the mind frame, but I know that hip-hop music – that a lot of people, not just black youth, African-American youth, the white suburb kids and the white kids that live in the ghettos too, are being affected by the music. So that should be priority one for everybody that says they support hip-hop and, you know, we want positive music for our kids and all the shit that they talk about, but then get in their car and turn on, you know, the gangster genocide rap. So that's part of the problem. And the movies and the entertainment, et cetera, et cetera. It's all part of the battle we fight, you know, and it's a big one for me because there's so much other things out there that people could apply their energy to. I mean, there's music out there that I haven't even found yet that I'm still searching for, whether it's truth music or whatever. It doesn't matter. But I don't contribute to the mainstream because the mainstream music is, again, like I said earlier, if you're part of the club, Yeah, if you like George Carlin, it's a big club and you ain't in it. You
know,
you ain't in it. But if you're
I
in the club,
want a club sandwich. You know, that's
yeah, you'll get shiny awards and you'll get guest spots on Jay Leno and et cetera. You'll be good to go if you just play ball and fit into the group. And a lot of artists aren't really trying to do that. And that's why I respect the underground in all genres of music, not just hip-hop. I respect people that actually have dignity and don't want to be a part of that. Like, winning a Grammy is not important to these people. It's more about the art form, if you will, which we need more of in everything, you know?
Mm-hmm.
We need people that are more passionate about things that actually matter instead of ice bucket challenges.
That's
which,
right.
Again, it's not yeah. necessarily a bad thing, you know?
Start
take it,
paying
whatever.
Attention to your surroundings. We say it here at Truth Emerges all the time. You know, you are awake. Be aware. Look at what's going on around you, for Pete's sakes, and see what you can do to make it better, you know, and without restricting people's freedoms. That's the it's a tricky key, I'll tell you what. You know, it's not going to be the easiest thing in the world, but there's got to be something better than this, because what this is slavery.
Pretty much. Yep. And I know, Chuck, we were talking about it on his show, but the Fed, man, we got to deal with the Fed, because that's enemy. That's the biggest enemy we have.
Yep.
Where
enemy numero uno. That is
yeah, everything.
The hall of doom.
Everything comes back to money, right, Lee? And guess who controls the money? The Fed mm-hmm. and their offshore corrupt Bilderbergers. So, yeah, we got to address that and get rid of that, because not necessarily get rid of it, but approach it in a different aspect where everybody, you know, everybody in society is numbers. Like, we don't even have names anymore. It's like, what's in your mm-hmm. bank account? How much can you pay us a year? We're going to trade you in the stock market. And that's what we are since birth. You know, since we're born, we got like $50,000 over our head that these people put on us without us even knowing about it many years before our existence, before we were even conceived, long time ago. So we have to address that. And Chuck brought up a good point that, you know, it's been 100 years, which was last year. You know, the Fed celebrated. I'm sure they had a big party. And we ripped off everybody for 100 years. Let's throw a party. But mm-hmm. 101 years is coming up. You know, it's coming up soon. Before, you know, the new year, I believe. So
yep,
when that happens, yeah, I'm going to be posting stuff about the Fed here, you know, coming up soon, but especially around that time, because 100 years is enough of usury and, you know, treating us all, like I said, we're all bank accounts. That's all really people care about. It's like how much money you got, which is terrible. And that's part, that's, you know, we're like 60 million, however many people are in this country. We're all like squirrels chasing the same nut, the same acorn that fall off the tree. We're all
yeah.
looking for that same one, and that's the one we need. We need it. We can't live without it. And the Fed knows that, man. They're making a lot of money, too. You know, that's another thing. You ever want to find out the corruption and where the secret societies and politicians and everybody meets? Follow the money. Whoever's bringing in the most money is where
yep.
you're going to find all these people.
That's you're exactly right. It's just like Lenin said, you know, you follow, see where the money goes, and fucking I am the walrus.
Mm-hmm. And like I said, it all resorts to money, which the Fed is printing out of thin air just to keep up with everybody's, you know, mindless madness of consumerism. Like I said earlier, buying shit we don't need. Now, I'm not saying live by bare necessities. You know, it's cool to treat yourself and buy things for family or whatever, but, you know, live inside your means, because that's what's killing everybody. It's not just killing you and causing you to pay years and years of your income, but everybody's doing it so nobody can ever catch up, is what I'm saying. Everybody's living in debt so nobody can ever break through. And they're keeping us all here, while meanwhile, you know, 7% of the world's population control the wealth, while the rest of us, I think it's like 7%. It's probably more than that or less, but either way, you get what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
While the rest of us are struggling and cutting each other's throats, trying to get where they are, trying to be
yep.
a billionaire or a millionaire. You know, I'd be comfortable with a nice little residence where I could, you know, be cool and live off the money I had. But people don't see it that way, man. Everybody's in a rat race to become rich and greedy. And that's another thing that's killing us, all of us, in my opinion.
That's right.
Money is... is it, you know, it's a good thing. You know, I hate to down talk it because, like I said, we all need it to survive, which is probably another lie they've been telling us for dawn of time, because I know I can go out and hunt and eat and find food if I had to, but that's zombie apocalypse scenario. But either way, we've just been...
That's a
dream.
That's
just the way life is, man. Yeah, we think about it,
that's
man.
That's what my dream is a life with no money. We're just out living off the land, and I just want to be left the fuck alone, you know?
Yeah, but we can't do that because that's that's so off the norm that it's unacceptable in today's Orwellian society. But either way,
came from.
I know. I don't see what the problem is because, I go out and I do stuff like that for recreation or for, like, hobby, but that's a survival skill. You know, people are losing that. I'll just run a McDonald's for the rest of my life. I won't have to learn how to do nothing. And that's what they do. And like I said, with the money that's in society, like, that's all people care about, man. Like, it really gets old to me where certain people are respected and held on high regard just because of how much money they have, when none of us are any different than anybody else. You know, we're all the same general makeup, and we're all human. But just because somebody has a lot more money than you, they'll take that person's word over yours, which is, you know, one aspect of it. But also, we put money over people too much. We got to stop doing that. I don't
do
that. I think that's a lost thing, too, because, you know, I see these videos where people go out and they give homeless people clothes or food or stuff like that. Like, I do that, too, but I don't make videos about it and tell people about it. And I just do that because that's what I do. If I see somebody... You know, there's people when I go to the store up here, they're always hanging out, and it's the same people all the time. If I have a dollar, I'll give it to them. If I don't, you know, I'll catch them on the next one. But I don't make a video out of it and brag about it.
Yeah, you know, I see that. But I can also see, you know, how people putting the doing a video like that from time to time and putting it up there going, hey, instead of dumping ice on yourself, do this. Which I saw a video
of
that today.
Dude, I love stuff like
walking
that.
Walking out of the store and, you know, carrying a bottle of water and waving it. And I didn't turn up the volume or anything or listen about it. I was just kind of watching, all right, these guys are going to go do something stupid. And they walk around the corner and give it to this homeless lady laying on the ground. Bag of chips, food, and then $20.
Right.
And I'm like,
and I'm not saying
awesome.
Making a video about it is a terrible thing to do. Like, that's what we need more of. I'd rather see that in my news feed than people dumping ice on their heads. But, you know, I do things like that on a regular, and again, I'm not perfect, man, but I think a lot of people in society have really went to the dark side. Like, they picked that side where it's like they'll do anything they can to step on you and even their mother to get some money. And it's sad, man. I don't live my life like that. Money is the least thing I worry about, and it's not because I'm rich. It's just because I don't think money is that important to me. But to everybody else in society, that's number one. That is the religion.
Mm-hmm.
They pray to their wallet and their money. And that's why, you know, it's just a tragic thing that times that we live in. But it's always been like that throughout human society and culture. But, you know, it is what it is, I guess. But I think people could do a lot better if we try to live
exactly.
a little bit better.
We've got to stop putting our possessions above, our interpersonal relationships. We've always had this horrific problem with that, and it's gotten worse and worse, you know, especially when you've got a out-of-control government who's got a war on everything, a war on drugs, there's a war on terror, and all these are, you know, pretty much intangible type things. You know, a war on drugs is never meant to be a war on drugs, especially when it's the government that keeps bringing it in. But
Thank
the war
you.
On drugs... You know, it is a war against personal freedom. So that's when the United States declared war against its citizens.
Right. And the thing with the war on drugs, too, is if you do drugs, and I'm talking about any drug. If you do any drug, they point the finger at you and they're like, you're the problem. You know, you're the reason why the war on drugs will never end. But like you said, they're the ones bringing it in. And they could stop a lot coming into this country if they wanted to, but they don't. Because, again, they make a lot of money off of this because it's a business. It also funds the prison industrial complex, which is a double win for them. But either way, when you're giving guns to the cartels in Mexico and saying you're fighting a war on drugs, that's a liar. You're lying. So people should discredit anything they ever say from that point on, like I did. we know why the war on drugs was created. It's because they wanted to control what drugs got in and what drugs didn't. And if you don't play ball with them, they'll bust you, or they'll turn you into the cartels. The cartel will come get you, or something like that. So, yeah, they're playing both sides of the fence, which is pretty pathetic when you think about it, when they get on TV and they say, we're going to stop drugs, and we're going to create all these programs in schools to tell people that drugs are bad, and then in our culture we're going to promote drug use. So they get us from every angle, man. And then with the entertainment and the music, they tell people this is this is cool, this is how you fit in. And it's not just weed, it's all kinds of other crazy shit that people do. But my point is, they use that to influence the drugs. Then they get mad when there's drugs in this country, when they're the ones bringing them into the country and funding it, getting into the country. So that shit will never
tell
be
them
over.
Cookie. Tell them what time it is.
They make too much money off of that, off the drug trade. That's why they're in Afghanistan, controlling that opium.
Yeah, Chuck and I were talking about that earlier in the show, how right after we went over to Afghanistan, all of a sudden, you know, it was maybe a couple months afterwards, a buddy comes over to my house with this gigantic block of opium. And I'm talking, you know, opium in Iowa was, you know, like non-existent.
Right.
Pretty much, you weren't going to run over to Bobby's house on 10th Street and pick up a couple grams of opium on an everyday occurrence. You know, you wouldn't ever even think about it. You know, and
well,
next thing I know, first time in my life, and I was like 25 at that point in time. First time in my life that you know, I seen opium come into Iowa, and you know, I was an avid drug user when I was a kid. So,
oh yeah.
I mean, if it came around, I would try it, and I would have thought that I would have seen, you know, opium before the time I was 25 years old, but no, we had to go aid that country in order for that to happen. Thank you very much, U.S. government.
Right.
Well, not,
and
I'm
also,
not opium, though.
Yeah, that's one way they do it. They get on the street level through heroin and other things. But also
seeing a heroin abuse
right.
rising going on now.
Big
nowadays.
Pharma, yeah, Big Pharma got their foot in the door, and they do it through the Percocet and the opiates, the oxy pills, blah blah blah.
Mm-hmm.
On down the line, they got into the business of it, and they created a synthetic heroin, and they give it to people as painkiller. And like I said, I had my experience with that, and there's family members that I have that are still. I had one die from that, overdosing on that stuff. So they got in the bed, and they're controlling that too.
Mm-hmm. It's all tied together, ladies and gentlemen. We've got to realize, and you sit there, I've been saying this over and over again tonight, we've got to realize that it is all tied together, and then we can formulate a good plan, a good form of attack. And I know it's quite intimidating to look at this multifaceted, you know, assault on everything that our country is supposed to be about and what we've all grown up to believe, and but it still has to be done. I mean, just sitting there and waiting for the truck to run you over doesn't keep the truck from running you over.
Mm-mm.
You got to figure out how to move out the way, so to speak. And what we need to move out of the way is this tired, old regime, old world order, trying to implement itself into a new tyrannical one world government.
Mhm. Which has always been the plan, you know. It's nothing new. Nothing new about the new world order.
Exactly.
The old world odor.
The old world odor. Yep. Because it stinks.
But that's what they're doing, and they're continuing to do it. And like you said, it is. It's a massive puzzle. If this was a puzzle you had to put together, there's probably 50,000 pieces in it. It's a lot to take in. So we do our best, and like I said, Lee, I don't want to keep you up too late tonight because I do have some things I have to take care of myself.
As
I don't know
do
how much
I.
time we have.
Yeah, I'm going to – well, I was just going to probably rock out a quick tune here and bust us on out.
Right on. That'll work. You know, because I could continue on, but like I said, I have a few things to tend to. And if anything, man, I want to thank you.
I
got to
be up early in the morning too, so –
yeah, I want to thank you for doing the show tonight, Last Voice for Liberty. And sorry I couldn't join you earlier, but next week I should be able to. We'll see. But if anything, yeah, man, thanks. It's cool, you know, hanging out for a little bit.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah, I'll be here again next week, I do believe. Next week I will be. And then the week after will probably be a replay show, or I'll get a guest host to run it. I've got family in town, and we're going to do a little thing for my dad that day.
Right on.
I probably won't make it to the show. I'll be able to be here live, so we'll do that.
Yeah, no
worries. Favorite thing is, as always, and I'll be back tomorrow night on NWO Truth Radio with Stephanie Jazowski with Date Night, and then Friday.
Mhm.
Big show this Friday.
Yeah, major show.
James Perloff, ladies and gentlemen.
I read some more today of that book, and man, I'm telling you, I can't believe I haven't came across that.
Out of it at the beginning of the show.
Yeah, I really got pissed off after. I got to reading the book. I was like, why haven't I found this book until now? Like, I would think with all my jumping around, you know, buying books and whatnot, this should have been recommended for me on one of these sites. But whatever. It's a good thing I found it, because it's very intriguing, and, you know, I'm not trying to sell the book on anybody or anything, but the book is awesome. Like, it's a hard book to pull yourself away from once you get going in it.
And it's
all true, which is even, you know, a better bonus for me, but might be tragic for other people reading it. But it's all documented and backed up. You know, it's all there, black and white.
Yep.
So, yeah,
very
Friday
cool.
night.
It's very, very good book. Very good book, and I'm looking forward to it. I know I'm looking forward to it just as much as you are, bud. It's going to be good.
He's a wealth of knowledge. I did talk to him on Ted's show one night, and I was impressed by what he was talking about. And when I got to talk to him, so I asked him. I said, you know, we'll go through emails and set a show up, and that's this Friday, on the 5th of September.
The Friday night super show.
That's right. And that reminds me, I got to get one of those shirts. I got to order today.
All right. Well, I'm fitting to head to bed. Ladies and gentlemen, if I'm going to leave you with one last thing tonight, it's that we've got to wake up. We've got to turn this establishment upside down, get it out of there. I'm calling for a complete abolition of this government, abolish it completely, and we're going to do it, start it anew. We need to wake up and stop being so docile, which leads me into the final song here tonight, Cirrus Minor with Docile. Thanks, Dennis, for joining me. Thanks to Chuck Ocelli earlier this evening and everybody out there in Listenerville. We'll be back again on The Last Voice for Liberty.